It's the Drew and Mike Show, taking you into the weekend with Trudy Mark, Brandon, and soon our special guest, the creator of the Comedy Store series, which is on HBO.
Showtime.
Showtime.
Yeah, boy.
Okay.
I'm glad I got that out of the way here.
New episodes every Sunday. I think the finale episode is this Sunday, but they're all on there. They're all on demand.
It's funny. I haven't really watched it on Showtime once. I just watch it on demand, which is...
Yeah. I'm turning over a new leaf.
I don't watch things when they're supposed to be watched anymore.
Welcome to the rest of the world, man.
I know. It's great. Anyway, it is just a phenomenal series about the Comedy Store and all of its storied history, which, you know, within those walls really is the history of stand-up comedy since the 1970s.
Yeah.
And everyone is in this thing. I'm curious to find out who isn't in it.
Drew, I was just going to say, that's got to be the first question, is who could he not get to talk?
You got Letterman and Leno and, I mean...
It sounded like Michael Keaton was a big get for him because, you know, nobody thinks of Michael Keaton as a stand-up.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, there were a lot of faces in there that I was really excited to see because I just didn't think of them as being... Jim Carrey, I don't really think of him as being a stand-up very often now.
I gotta say, his stand-up's not so... It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think I appreciate him a lot more for the other things he does. But Mike's a few minutes away, and we are heading into the weekend, which is the big Michigan-Michigan State weekend, which isn't so big because nobody can go to the game. Nobody can party outside the game. It's all very weird. And Michigan is such a huge favorite. Is it 26 points? Did
I
hear
that? Is
that
what it is?
I swear I heard that a couple days ago.
I would take State all day.
And I didn't even know Ohio State and Penn State are playing this weekend.
Yeah.
It's a huge game.
Michigan!
And, of course, the Hokies in Louisville. A few other games.
It's a big game.
Is there any action this weekend? Not yet?
No, November 6th.
Okay. Please.
Take your time.
Slow down, Mac.
If they even make it.
Yeah, you know what? That's really interesting. To start in the gale of Corona Force, play your first game. It does seem kind of silly. Water is everywhere in your home, whether you know it or not. Leaky sink, washing machine, behind the fridge, under the dishwasher. Keep an eye out for any water in your home, not just floods. Water is the enemy, and Emergency Response Services Incorporated will help you. I just got an email from somebody who said they had a lingering mold issue. And I've been putting it off. Finally, after hearing this ad, it's like, okay, I can't stand having this mold and not knowing what the hell it is. Anyway, Emergency Response Services Incorporated took care of it, and he was delighted. Call 877-JOB-DONE or visit 877-JOB-DONE.com. And some of you out spending your last of the $20 spenders in Royal Oak this weekend is the Downtown Development Authority gave out all that money, and you... Late, people who got it late and who are spending it late, here's probably your last shot the next few days. And there's a new program coming up to do with, well, I'll just say the holidays. Ooh. But it's something you may very well want to participate in again if you like free money. Just saying. Pretty
That's
cool.
That's a nice place.
And remember, if you want to lift into Royal Oak, remember it's GO2RO to take lift there and home and get $10 off. Pretty good deal. And Mike Binder will be on the Hall Financial Hotline. Anybody else for the Hall Financial Hotline today?
Brandon, you sent one over.
I had a phone number for the 103-year-old lady from Detroit who's been featured in a few news pieces because of all the different times that she has voted, and she's making her vote public that she voted for Biden, but she goes back to FDR. So, I don't know. She's been
she
all over
for FDR.
The news.
It's hilarious. Crazy. That reminds me of something. I see a few. There's a couple other things I was thinking about on the phone, but well, maybe not today. If your current mortgage rate is above 3%, what are you waiting for? Hall Financial is standing there waiting to save you money. Almost 70% of loans don't require an appraisal right now, which is makes it a whole lot easier. Call Hall Financial today to see if you qualify for a no appraisal loan. If for some reason your loan does require an appraisal for the month of November only, Hall Financial is going to pay for it for you, up to $500. Believe it or not, closing times have sped up again. Now it's 10 days or less with Hall Financial. Go to the website, click on the Hall Financial link to get started. Hall Financial, lower payments, better options, more personal attention. Call 248-308-5000, DavidHallMortgage.com/DrewAndMike, NMLS number 1467435. That's it. Let's see, what else this weekend? Oh, Halloween.
That's right, Saturday.
Did you guys buy candy?
No.
Yes.
I always get candy, but I get it at the last minute, so I will pick up candy today or tomorrow.
Yeah. At the 7-Eleven?
Are you going to give it away with a...
CVS.
Are you going to give it away with a 6-foot cardboard tube? Did you see that guy in Canada?
No, I'm not using 6-foot cardboard
tube. That's trending.
Is it really?
Yes. Yeah, I saw that the other day. Everybody's suggesting that. So all you need is a PVC pipe, Drew.
No, I will hand it... I'll wear a mask.
I just wanted Halloween this year.
I will put candy in their bags that they hold open. I will not be breathing hard or yelling at them.
Dying ASAP.
And I will adore their cute little costumes and let them move on. If they're trick-or-treating, I really have no feel for... There's going to be a lot of just a few kids.
This neighborhood is so Halloween carried away, though. I mean, oh, decorations.
Well, suddenly on Halloween, there's 1,000 kids on my block alone.
Yeah.
I mean, they just come from everywhere. I mean, there's cars parked all over the street. It's kind of cool. It's fun. Yeah. So I hope there's something going on. It just doesn't seem right, does it? Tom Masway said his kids are going trick-or-treating.
Yeah, right? That's Eastside.
You know, his kid's a little old for trick-or-treating. Maybe.
I would think the youngest one would. Isn't
18 a little?
Oh, 18's way too old.
The youngest is... No, I was kidding. Isn't the youngest 14? Or is she younger than
probably
that?
Probably too old, too. Right?
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
Maybe Tom, maybe they do a trick-or-treating just to make Tom feel like they're still
They're trick-or-treating for Tom.
Yeah. It's possible. He wouldn't put an end to that either. You'd appreciate that. We might have Mike Binder on the phone.
Ooh.
Yeah. Do you know how long we have him for, Trudy?
As long as you want.
Really?
Well, no, he didn't sign off on that.
So it's not like
we didn't talk about that.
It's not like we're lined up like planes at the airport.
No, okay. No, not at all.
Oh, that's good. Did you see episode 4?
No, actually.
Trudy.
I know.
I'm telling you, the whole thing is a lot of fun.
I'm going to lean heavily on you two to ask pertinent questions.
I'm there.
Although I know, a little... here and there about different comics who are involved.
I think you'll find much will come up.
Good.
Is Mike on the horn? Oh, he needs his introduction music.
I love this documentary so much. I even love the music they use for the intro.
What is the music?
Ask him. He's on hold.
Mike?
Hello?
Hey, Mike Binder. How are you?
Good. How are you?
We're doing great. Mark even found your music for the Comedy Store.
Yeah.
Did you
I like that music?
Did you pay handsomely for it?
I did. We did. I gave him my second child.
I noticed something in the middle of that. You used the song "The Boxer," but I don't think it was Simon and Garfunkel singing it. My first thought was, I wonder what that cost.
Yeah, it wasn't cheap. That was Jerry, this Irish singer with, I'm forgetting the name. I'll remember it in a second. But it was that was great.
It was an Irish singer.
What would the...
Jerry Douglas redid it with Mumford and Son.
Ah. Okay.
Well, would the Simon and Garfunkel version have been just too expensive? Or did
I wanted that one.
Oh, okay, 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 cool.
That one wasn't a whole lot cheaper than what the Simon and Garfunkel one would have been.
All right. Well, while we're on the inside questions, I'll ask you, because a lot of people in Detroit know you because you're from here and you went out to Hollywood and you did all this stuff with comedy and movies. And Arthur P. made his way into The Upside of Anger. Really pretty big role, actually.
And so
we've long speculated, because we did the morning show at WRIF for 22 years. Was there any thought of having a morning show and maybe just having a Riff morning show in there?
Self-serving question.
Yeah. I don't know. No, I don't. I don't know. I
apparently
think
not.
The, I think no.
I can take it, Mike.
I think Arthur P. kind of killed any chance of us doing anything more.
Yeah, it wasn't a WRAF movie. It was a great movie, though. I love the movie, and you were such a little bastard in that movie.
Yeah. Thanks.
But the Comedy Store, we've enjoyed it so much, and I've read so much and seen so much of it, the Comedy Store. And Mark and I were talking before the show about how many, I mean, everyone is in this documentary. And so naturally, when everyone shows up for documentary, it tells you that the subject must be very important, because otherwise people just aren't that available. But who,
that's right.
Is there anybody who you couldn't get?
Not really. Not really. The only one I didn't get was Dave Chappelle, and it was more about COVID. I think, you know, I had him set up. You know, he's a friend of mine, he was going to do it, and he had a bunch of shows set up, and they got canceled because of COVID. Mm-hmm. And I just think at that point, it just got screwed up, huh. And I didn't get it, you know. But
we got a lot of big ones. Know? Did you try to get? And this good plays off of episode 4. Did you try to get Carlos Mencia?
No.
Yeah, I don't blame you.
Well, that's really as far as the new episode. If
fascinating.
We're talking in current, episode 4. It's big portions about podcasting and how huge podcasting has been for comedy. And how
it's
Joe
amazing,
Rogan?
Isn't it?
It really is. Joe Rogan. He's like he's Carson now, right?
He really is. These guys. You know, and I didn't know once we got to 4, it was reporting for me. You know, I didn't know a lot about that stuff because I was gone for a long time. You know, these guys could get an episode of Joe's show, and really their career lights up like it used to be when we would do a Tonight Show, a Great Tonight Show, you know, or maybe two times on Joe's show, and you know they become huge headlines.
I imagine the pressure is not as significant because with Johnny, you guys weren't super tight with Johnny. He was sort of on that other side. And
that's
that little bitty stretch of road that you did on there, I mean, the pressure just sounds immense.
Well, I think the other side of it is, too, is that's a big part of it. I think it's so laid back on those shows. You know, they're so close, you know, and, you know, when one of these guys has a special out, you know, I directed Bill Burr's Paper Tiger.
It's fantastic.
And he went on everyone's podcast, and he didn't even bother to like go on talk shows and the things that I would think you would want to do to publicize something like this. He just went on Joe, and he went on Santino's show and Bobby Lee's show and, you know, Whitney Cummings' show. And Joey Diaz's show. Mm-hmm. And
he's got his own podcast, too. Two of them.
Yeah.
That do extremely well.
And that's what he did. And the interesting thing is when these guys go on tour, they don't, you know, the old days we would go out on the road and, you know, we'd come to Detroit and you'd have to get up in the morning and you'd do, you know, morning radio and you'd do WXYZ or Kelly and Company. They used to have a show in Detroit, and, you know, and you know, you'd have to do all that. And then, and on top of it, you'd have to buy radio ads and they, you know, Brass Ring would put out posters. And these guys don't do that. They just don't do that. They rent the hall and they say, hey, we're going to be in Detroit, and they put it on their website, and they talk about it on their podcast, and they talk about it on another few podcasts, and it sells out. And if it doesn't sell out, they don't go. They cancel. You know?
Wow, yeah, it is. It's just a whole new world. And, you know, you reminded me in talking about that on episode 4, we used to get the Tempe Improv guys in Phoenix every Thursday morning when I was there from 88 to 91. And I just loved having those guys in, although it was, you know, with Robert Schimmel, it could be really scary. David Spade was real young. He was great. We had Bill Hicks, Bill Engvall. But the part I liked the most, and this is when you were talking about late at night at the Comedy Store, this is what I thought of, was we go out for breakfast afterwards, and I always just loved hanging out with those guys. It was just something about hanging out with comedians that was so much fun.
I'll tell you, I used to play that club when it first opened.
Mm-hmm.
That was that big room with a loft balcony area.
Yeah,
area, right?
Black and white tile.
Yeah, and Dice reminded me of a story. It was so funny, man. I worked there. Dice was like my middle act. I got him the job. That's how long ago it was. He was like an unknown guy, and he wasn't. His act was. This is before he was really Dice. He was doing a bunch of different things, and he was screwing around with the audience and changing up his act, and they wanted to fire him after about two nights. And I said, no, man, you're not going to fire him. He's my friend, you know. I mean, I brought him and another guy, Harris Pete, and he'll stop screwing around, but don't fire him, you know, because if he goes, I'm going, you know. And they said, okay. All right, well, just tell him to stop screwing around. So that night, he does a good show. And then night after, he goes back to screwing around again.
That's Dice.
That was one of the cool things, or is one of the cool things about the documentary, is how tight everyone is. Sure, there's little factions, little battles here. The strike was a huge battle. But everyone seems pretty tight. It's kind of amazing to see that. How much did that strike affect you back in the late 70s, personally?
Well, it didn't affect me that much. You know, it kind of affected me because I wished that I hadn't have crossed their picket line. You know, I was a young kid and I didn't really understand it, but it was more. There was more to it than I could really put in the documentary, number one, and I didn't want to put this in there. During the day while the strike started, I was shooting my first movie role, which was the Freddie Prinze story for CBS, and I was playing Freddie's best friend, a guy named Alan Burstyn, you know, who was one of the comedians.
Yeah, he's in the documentary.
Yeah, and I was playing him. He didn't get the role because they didn't think he was enough.
That's really odd.
Yeah, they didn't think he fit the part, you know. But
did you feel bad about that, Mike?
Not really. If you knew Alan Burstyn, you didn't feel too bad.
Okay.
You know, but you know, so I, you know, and all the comics said, okay, look, he could play there. You know, we're striking the store, but not during the day, and it's a movie thing. But I was there every day, and I could see how bad it was on Misty. And after about 2 weeks, she had said, okay, maybe a week even, she said, I'll pay, but in the main room, the big room, but not in the original room, you know, because the big room was where everyone was upset about. So I'll split the door with the professionals, but not in the original room where the amateur, you know, the new guys are.
Mm-hmm.
And they all said, no, we don't want that deal. I felt like it was just a lot of resentment against her, and people just wanted to shut her down. And a lot of people that just you know, were upset that they didn't get spots. So I went up one night because I really, she was in so much pain. And I went up one night and I never went up again. And people kind of, there were a lot of people that were mad at people, but for some reason they weren't that mad at me. And then the ones that were, I didn't go back up again. I just told Misty, look, I'm not going to go back up again until you guys settle this. And she, a lot of people took a lot more heat than I did, although a lot of people were mad at me, but I didn't really care because I, as I said, I stopped going around the Comedy Store for a while for the next few weeks. And, but a lot of people took it way more serious than I did. You know, a lot of them, I just felt, were people that just kind of liked the drama, you know?
Yeah, comics seem to like drama.
Yeah.
Did you and Jay Leno have a falling out over that, or is that kind of exaggerated?
Yeah.
You did?
Yeah.
Really?
No, we didn't have a falling out. We never, like, but we, before that, we were really tight friends, and, you know, really tight. And
yeah, he would call your family back here, wouldn't he? Just to say, hey, Mike's okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And we, you know, I spend a lot of time at his place. But I mean, we're good friends now, but we were never really like but he was seriously into the whole thing. But you know, listen. The thing is, I also think they did a good job because comics around the country, get paid. But they were anyway. You know, a lot of people don't know this, but the first real club, other than New York and L.A. and San Francisco, and they were all paid, non-paid clubs, but the first real paid gig that the comics from our generation had was Mark Ridley's club.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Which is still doing so well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's real. But
Mark, we were doing this show, Make Me Laugh, and Mark came out, kind of was hanging at the store, and we met, and he said, why couldn't you do that? Why couldn't you just have three comics come and do? And Mark paid well.
Wow.
You know, and Mark brought comics, and Mark kind of started a new version of the comedy club, where it wasn't amateurs, it wasn't a showcase, it wasn't a bunch of comics in a row, it was three acts. Mm-hmm. And it was a very controlled thing. And that was very much, that was the type of thing where you needed to split the bill. You know, the comics got a certain percentage of the door, and Mark got a certain percentage of the door, you know? Huh.
Well,
then it went to the Cleveland Comedy Club, and then Ohio, and then Pittsburgh, and Atlanta, and before long, there were comedy clubs like that. You know, the Improv kind of franchised themselves, but Mark was the guy that really started the professional comedy club.
Huh. And still doing it and opening up November 5th, is it, Trudy?
Yeah.
Reopening?
Right.
Mike, because you're from Birmingham, and of course we know Birmingham well, and we all have friends over there, I couldn't help but wonder, when you're 18 years old and you say to your folks, yeah, I'm going to L.A. Community College, and you really wanted to go out and try your skills at stand-up and whatever else you want to do out there. So they totally bought that? Because I was at L.A. Community College. Why can't you go to Oakland Community College?
well, you know, it's a strange story, but my parents were divorced, you know, and they were both kind of really broken down at that time, you know.
Oh, okay.
So they were both kind of just doing their own thing. And my brothers and I, we had been raising ourselves for about 5 years. So no one, they would also say, you know, everything I said, yeah, I'm doing really well, Dad. I got a place in down in Atlanta. I got a ranch down here and it's doing great. I'm running cattle. Oh, great. Okay.
Oh my God.
So they weren't sending you any big bucks for tuition and room and board and all that stuff.
No. They were just glad. They honestly, they were just glad that I was out of state and not in some kind of small holding cell.
That's a really ballsy move, though. I mean, how hard was it for you, you know, out of the class of 76, I guess?
Yeah.
Yeah. What high school?
Sehome.
Okay. Class of 76, Sehome. I mean, you probably have a lot of friends going to Michigan, a lot of friends going to Michigan State. There's probably Ivy League people, and you're going to go to California and, you know, try to make it. That is just, I mean, I so am blown away by the balls people have to do that. But coming from Birmingham, that had to be, I mean, was that hard to do that for you?
Well, it's one of those things, you know, it's a nice question, and I was so laser focused, you know, it's all I wanted in the world. I was like a moth to a faraway flame. You know, I had read, there was a book called The Last Laugh that my father found on some bookshelf, you know, and he just said, hey, here, and it's all about comedians. And he found it a couple of years earlier. Huh. And I just read it and read it and read it and read it. And I just knew, okay, you either go to New York or you go to L.A., but there's no point in going to New York because the Carson show's there and this place called the Comedy Store. And I just knew the minute I got free, I was going there. And, you know, I just got in my car and went, you know, and I had known I wanted to do that since I was 11 years old. You know, be a comedian.
And you become the doorman, you know.
Yeah.
Very, very famous story. And in the last episode, there was this picture of a bunch of people that went there. I think it was to see Pryor. And one of the people there was Princess Diana, which just seemed so out of place. What other people have shown up at the Comedy Store that you were kind of surprised by or didn't expect? Maybe other dignitaries?
There's just a lot of people, you know, politicians. And boy, you know, just, I mean, over the years, pretty much, you know, the rock stars and every actor, and one of the great stories that I didn't make into the doc was Jeff Altman used to do Johnny Carson impression, and a great Johnny Carson impression. And one night we had Buddy Rich in the main room, and Johnny came in, and Jeff was doing this Johnny Carson skit. And Argus went and grabbed him and said, "Hey, Johnny, come here. I want to show you something."
Oh, God.
And he brings him around into the main room, into the original room, and he sees Altman on stage doing him as one of the characters in Love Story. And Johnny walks up to the stage in the original and goes, "I think I can do that a little better." And the crowd's going crazy, and Jeff doesn't know who this guy, what's going on. And then he realizes it, and Carson just walks up on stage and takes the mic from him and does like 10 minutes.
Oh, my God.
What a power move.
Yeah. Oh, man, that's great.
Wow.
The story Mark was referring to was when Pryor was playing and you were there, and it was, you know, lock the club after the party, and Willie Nelson brings out his guitar, and Bert and Sally were there, and who else? Robin Williams, and then, yeah, Diana was at the show that night,
crazy,
right?
Crazy, yeah.
And also, Sugar Ray was there that night.
Well, Leonard,
Sugar Ray Leonard, and who else? Yeah, it was just one of those things, too, where, you know, there was a time, everyone was coming in to see Richard. He always drew the celebrities. And back then, we would just, Mitzi would let us stay afterwards. And, you know, and Willie was there, and Richard goes, "Go get your guitar, man. I want to hear you sing." And Richard just sends, Willie just sends his buddy up to his guitar, his car. And he comes back and he played for us for like an hour and a half. And it was really funny because I found that picture, and I'm buddies with Owen Wilson, and he said he told me he was texting me that he was with Willie in Hawaii, And I texted him this picture, and this is about a year ago when I started work, or a couple of years when I started working on this, and I said, show Willie this picture, ask him if he remembers this night.
And he
said, no, he didn't, but he wants to know if he passed the hat.
God, Willie is so quick.
There was another story, too, like U2 popped in. They didn't understand Pauly Shore. What about other musicians? Did a Beatle or a Rolling Stone ever show up to the Comedy Store?
Yeah. Ringo did. That was a great story. That one didn't make it either. That was years ago. I was a doorman, and Ringo just kind of showed up one night, jumped out of a car, just drunk as can be. He's good and sober now, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And he just drunk as could be, and just looked, and there's a table for Neil Israel, and his name is at the door. And that was Neil Israel driving the car. Later became a friend of mine, and he just kept, and he kept saying the same thing over and over again. I went, okay. There's a table for Neil Israel. His name is the door. I go, You're at the door. I'm the door. Just hold on. Ringo Starr, you know. And so we put them way in the back, and he just starts heckling the hell out of Letterman.
Oh, my God.
No.
Who's the MC? But, you know, he's an unknown guy. He's the MC. And he just, Letterman just finally realized someone yells out, hey, Dave, that's Ringo you're messing with. And he's Ringo. Dave's just killing him. He goes, Ringo? He goes, so wait a minute. He ruins his career, and now he's here to ruin mine?
Oh, man. I would love to see more of Dave's stand-up, because it doesn't seem like there's a lot of video of it out there, but I just can't.
There's very little. We had a little bit of it.
I did see it, yeah. Dave, I mean, people suggest that he was a fantastic stand-up.
He was a great stand-up. I loved his stand-up. Loved it so much.
But he was always, he felt so awkward in those situations, according to him.
Yeah, he was. He didn't like it.
But he was, I mean, in terms of his show, his monologues were always, I mean, I honestly watched almost every show the last year he was on. I was so sad that show was ending. And he made me laugh every night. And it was always something stupid or an aside or a word choice. But I just love Dave. And
he was great. He's just an uncomfortable guy in general, I think. Although I think he's getting more uncomfortable. But as you'll see in the fifth episode, everything kind of goes back to your high school days. When it didn't take me long to like get under his skin, you know. I mean, I'm there like 15 minutes, and I'm interviewing. He goes, "Oh, you're starting to get insulting." I go, "Okay, Dave, you know, doing the best I can." You know,
God, he had two lines that floored me. One was about partying late at the Comedy Store. He's like, "I did it once, and I realized I was really tired."
Yeah.
And then when you tried to convince him to maybe do a podcast, which was totally perplexing to him.
Well,
and Bill Burr's just laughing at him.
Well, then there's a thing afterwards when we cut out. He goes, "You got to understand, I just left the show, and I afterwards, I've been doing that show for 30 years or something, or 28 years, and." Mm-hmm. I went to make a phone call, and I realized I didn't know how.
Well, yeah, you know, on his Netflix show, he just had Kim Kardashian on, and he showed what was his cell phone. It was like a beat-up old iPhone, and he barely knew how to use it. It was really – I kind of believed it when he was showing it to the camera.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I got
to
say.
You know, I'm getting ready to do a two-part thing on with Albert Brooks.
Oh, cool.
Who is really to me the J.D. Salinger of comedy. You know, I mean, he's just a genius. And when I told Letterman that Albert and I were friends, and he was, his eyes just lit up. He's like, He goes, that guy is the greatest. Of, you know, how did that happen? Because I, you know, and Albert never played the Comedy Store. Albert never worked out his material. He just wrote it and went on The Tonight Show. Wrote it, went on Letterman. Wrote it, went on Ed Sullivan, you know. And he just didn't need the comedians or a home club or anything. But, and you know, it's so funny because he's the same guy. It's like, I don't know how to, I don't have a, he just recently got an iPhone, you know. he's on Twitter and he follows one person, his wife. and he's got like a million people follow him, you know. And the only reason he has it is because every now and then he thinks of something really funny. And he puts it on there. That's the only reason he has it.
I got to follow him. Sam Kinison, you know, every time I see Sam, whether it's in your special, and there have been a few various clips, I can't get over how funny he is. I can laugh at the same thing over and over and over. And he's just on a different planet to me than anybody else. What do you think it would be like if Sam Kinison came along, you know, around 2015 or so? Would he still be, I mean, could he be Sam Kinison and not get thrown off the stage?
Well, I don't know. You know, did you see this guy, Brian Holtzman?
I did.
God, he was great.
Yeah.
He's great, and I'm trying to get him a special. Joe Rogan and Bill Burr and I, we want to back him on a special, and we're going to, you know, it's, so we'll see, you know. No one's ever done anything with him, so, and I think he's Sam level funny, you know. He says things that are insane and he goes nuts, but I think that he might be too radioactive for today's world, you know. I mean, I gave him 12 minutes at the end of this special, and you know,
he killed.
Showtime was nice enough at that point of dealing with me. They knew, let's just not even fight with him, you know. He's not going to change his mind on it, you know, because they, you know, if they thought they could have talked me out of it, they would have taken him out, you know, but they just didn't.
Did they have any other kind of notes for you? Because there's one guy you talk to who's one of my favorite comedians of all time, who has been under some pressure, which is Louis C.K. And I always want more of Louis, no matter what he's doing, which I guess makes me a bad person because of what he did.
Yeah, I'm canceling you right now.
But you haven't had all of him, so.
Was there more of Louis that you wanted to put in and they were like, oh, let's limit Louis or anything like that?
No. I mean, they weren't thrilled when I said I was going to put him in, you know, but and they really thought we should talk about this, but they let me do it.
Good.
You know, and a lot of people tried to talk me out of it, and, you know.
Really?
A lot of people did.
I mean, he can't be forgiven. He can't have any redemption. I mean, he's so funny. I mean, he's really in the upper echelon of mm-hmm. comics. I mean, I agree.
And he's someone that helped the Comedy Store come back.
Yeah.
When he filmed that special there. And he's one of my top, he's in my top five easily. So, mm-hmm. and I thought, you know what? I called him and I said, look, I want you to do this. And I don't need to talk about what you've been through. I want to just normalize you, you know?
Well, it's nothing to do with the Comedy Store.
You know what? Hey, you know where I shot that interview?
Where?
The Royal Oak Music Theater.
Oh, really?
That's probably right when we saw him, Drew.
Yeah.
When we saw him perform not that long ago.
Which was a great show. It sold out in no time for that.
I was there, too. That's when I was there.
What?
You know, well.
Yeah, he said, look, you know, I'm not coming to L.A. And he told me where he was going to be. And I said, look, I'll go to Detroit because I happen to know the Royal Oak Theater pretty well. And I can shoot you backstage and it'll look just like the Comedy Store.
Oh, cool.
Well, I'm glad you included him. I just...
Where do you see episode 5? He's all over episode 5, and we talk a lot about him. And about... Episode 5 is... I get into the meat with up on the roof with Rogan and Whitney Houston and Whitney
Cummings.
Whitney Houston. It's a get. I'll tell you that. We have her in a bathtub, too.
That'd be a wild episode. I agree.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah.
I don't want to force you to get totally specific on this, but I'm just wondering, what kind of people are we talking about that, you can't put Louis C.K. in there? Because I just don't, sometimes I think, who are these people? And, I mean, are we talking about people who are involved with Showtime or people, I mean, who actually thinks this hard?
It's a good question, but they do, man. Some of them just spend a lot of their day thinking like this.
Jesus.
You know, I mean, but you'll see. We talk about it up, you know, it's me, Rogan, Jay Leno, Whitney Cummings, Bill Burr, Paul Rodriguez, and Annie Letterman up on the roof, and we discuss this world. And then I interview with Louis some more, and the fifth episode's pretty, I like the fifth episode a lot. It's pretty cool.
I'm really glad you had Annie in the last episode, because I think people should see her more, because she's a really good stand-up. Same with Brian Holtzman. And going back to an earlier episode, Tim Thomerson was featured a little bit, and everybody raved about him, and it's just like, why have I never heard of Tim Thomerson when he was Letterman's favorite, Leno loved him.
Yeah, that was weird.
This bit was hilarious.
It was, and it's an old bit.
Yeah. Well, he was, in his day, he was really well known, but, you know, that was 30 years ago, you know, things change, you know, but as far as he's had a great career, you know, he left stand up, you know, look, most people didn't know Michael Keaton was a comedian. Yeah. You know, there's ramifications. If you don't do something, no one knows you're doing it, you know? And stand up, as Martin Lawrence said, it will humble you. But the real way it will humble you is people will forget you and forget you did it. You know, if Gary Shandling, if Judd Apatow hadn't done that documentary, no one would know who he is today. Today, think about 10 years from now.
Yeah,
his shows are not on the air. They did not, you know. People wouldn't, he doesn't have, Gary Shandling did not endure other than Judd's documentary.
And he was so good. Oh, my God.
Yeah, he was great, but the train moves on.
Yeah.
You know, the train moves on in a big way, you know, and, you know, other than Pryor and Carlin, there's very few people from that era that, you know, Robert Klein was my favorite comedian, and a lot of people aren't going to be knowing about him very soon.
Yeah, that's really, you know? That's really strange.
Yeah, well, but that's, music's the same way. Music's a little less because there's
oldie stations.
Yeah.
We like our oldies.
But there's no oldie stations for comedy, you know?
No, there aren't.
That's a brilliant idea, though.
There should be. Why wouldn't Netflix pick up a bunch of those old specials, or why wouldn't HBO put some of those old specials?
Well, it's a problem. It's actually something, it's an interesting thing that I've been talking about, you know? It's a problem because comedy doesn't work. It's so timely unless you explain why it works. Well, if you explain it, then it works, you know? But, like, I made it so very subtly you had to set Tim Thomerson up, and then boom, he's funny.
Yeah.
You know?
Mike, I wondered, because I remember we saw you when you were here. Was that a premiere of Rain or Me?
Yeah.
Rain Over Me?
In Birmingham.
With Adam and Don Cheadle.
Yeah.
And that was Adam in a different kind of role. And I wondered if you saw Uncut Gems and what you thought of that.
Yeah, I loved it.
You did?
Yeah. I saw it quite a few times. Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah, I was really intrigued by it. I found I was really anxious, which I suppose is good in a way, because I mean the movie's affecting me, but I don't know if I was over anxious or and I heard a lot of people say the same thing, but Mark, you loved it.
I was like, not the biggest fan of Uncut Gems.
Oh, you were not the biggest fan.
Oh, sorry.
Is it Brandon? Somebody like
that. I don't know. Sorry. Let's just strike that from the record.
Wow. Man, maybe this is something you guys could have worked out before the show.
Well, okay. I'll
like Hubie Halloween. Is that what I'm thinking of?
Well, I love Sandler. I thought he was fine.
I do too.
Anyway, I will ask you about Minority Report, which is one of my favorite movies of all time. But it seems odd that Minority Report, you know, this big Tom Cruise Spielberg movie. How did you end up in Minority Report?
He called me.
Whoa, really?
He just called me and asked
me. He being Spielberg?
Yeah.
How well did you know Spielberg before then?
I didn't know him. I'd never met him. I thought it was a joke.
Wow.
Was he a fan of The Mind of the Married Man? Or
No, it wasn't on the air at the time. He had seen me in a movie called The Contender. And I was actually playing poker with the director of that movie, Rod Lurie. And he said, you know, Spielberg's studio bought that movie and they had done a little bit of recutting, and Steven came in the editing room one day to look at the recut, and he stopped it on, and I was in a scene, and Steven said, I really like that actor.
Really?
And what's his name? And he said, and Rod told me that story in front of a bunch of people at the poker game, and then and I thought, what a kind of a braggy thing to say. Don't make up a story like that to make you look good, you know? So then 2 days later, my office, my assistant comes in and says, Steven Spielberg's on the line.
Whoa.
And I went, no, it isn't. It's Rod Lurie. Because he brought it up to get up to me again as we were leaving, and I said, Rod, listen, you don't have to say that shit. Don't do that. I'm happy for you that Spielberg bought your movie and that you're working with him, but you don't have to bring me into this. Don't do that. So then when the assistant, I said, it's Rod Lurie, I'll take it. So I go, yeah, hey, what's up? And he goes, hey, man, I love you in that movie, and, you know, I've been watching some of your comedy, and I want you to be in a movie that I'm doing with Tom Cruise. Yeah, oh, sure, I'll be right over. So are we doing it tonight? And he goes, no, not tonight. You know, but, and I go, wait a minute. And then finally I realized, is this really Steven Spielberg?
Oh, wow.
So then he goes, hey, can you come by my office tomorrow? I want to talk to you about this. So I said, yeah, of course. Yeah, sure. So I go to this office and I have this great meeting with him. And I said to him, did you think that was weird when you first called? He goes, yeah, I couldn't figure it out. And I said, well, I thought you were Rod Lurie playing a joke on me. And he was laughing. I told him the whole story. He goes, so are you going to do the movie? I said, yeah, of course. Sounds great. And he goes, okay, well, sounds like you got an apology coming for Rod Lurie. So I go down to Rod's office, and it's because he has an office now on the Universal lot, and I guess Spielberg's office told Rod I was coming. So I go. And they go, he's in there waiting for you. Right as I walk in, I don't have to say anything. And he's in the middle of the room in his chair, just sitting there with his arms crossed. Nice. Well, you got something to say?
You know? Mike, I so appreciate your time. And, I know you're going to do other stuff. And I hope we can get you on again. Because, seriously, we could talk about a lot of stuff that you've been involved in. And you being from Birmingham. And everybody knows you here. And we love seeing you all the time on whatever it is you're doing. But I did want to get you to tell us to preview Episode 5 that we'll be watching this Sunday. Before I let you go.
It's the finale. And it's... we have a lot of comics up on the roof talking about the store and what A lot of it's like.
And Whitney Houston?
Yeah, Whitney Houston. Yeah, Whitney Houston's up there. And Sirhan. So it's an odd group.
That's
why it works. It's eclectic. We talk about, you know, Mitzi is gone. She passed a couple of years ago, right as we started making this. And it's really about what life is like now at the store today, and what day to day life is like, and actually dealing with COVID and where it's going to go in the future, and also a lot with some of the shows that are being built out of the store. It's very interesting, and a lot about some of this cancel culture that's going on some of these comedians, I just looking back at some of the interviews I did over the last 2 years. So it's fun.
I have one more question from episode one. I won't go through the whole story. The Freddie Prinze versus John Travolta story was fascinating. And I can't believe you found the police report that I guess Travolta filed. I've never heard him talk about the situation of getting three arrows stuck in his door. Is there any record of Travolta talking about that?
No.
Really?
No, but it's a true story.
Oh yeah, well, there's pictures of the police report. Yeah,
he didn't want to talk about it, but it's a true story.
Oh, I love the inside stuff.
Wild, yeah.
Well, I got to tell you, I just watched episode four because I'm enjoying this so much. I save it because I don't want to burn it. In fact, I'm bummed that there's only one more episode.
I could watch five.
One more.
Oh, Mike. Okay. Well, thank you very much for the time, and we're just enjoying the hell out of it.
I appreciate you guys having me on.
Thank you very much, thanks, Mike. Guys. I hope we talk again.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah, okay. Thanks, Mike.
Okay, guys.
Good luck with it, Mike. Okay. See ya. Mike Binder and that music he paid handsomely for. It's funny, the boxer, I swear to God, I heard that. I don't know why I think this stuff, but I thought, okay, it's some kind of cover version so they could pay less.
Well, he mentioned Mumford & Sons. So
if it's Mumford & Sons, then it had to cost not that much less, which is what he said.
Well, I'm glad there's more Louie in this next episode, too, because I find that just fascinating.
Except I thought there were six episodes, so now I'm bummed out. If I hadn't talked to him, I'd feel better.
Watched it slower then.
I know. Well, I got to episode four today. That's 4 days late.
Watch it again.
So
probably could.
Could you guys actually pick a top five? You know, he talked about having a top five.
Yeah, that's a great question.
Right now or of all time?
I don't know. I mean,
very simple.
Okay, go ahead.
Louis C.K.
Yep.
Dave Chappelle.
Yes.
Bill Burr.
Uh-huh.
George Carlin.
Good one.
And, oh boy, the fifth one. I guess I got to have some. Well, no, because I already said Chappelle. I was going to say Pryor. I'm not too well versed in Pryor, so maybe Chris Rock, because he was really hot. He had a couple episodes.
Not Robin Williams?
Robin Williams. Might be in my bottom five.
I don't like Robin Stoon.
I put both Louis on. I don't know, for some reason I'm in love with Louis Anderson.
I love Louis Anderson, I do.
And Jeff Ross, because, God, Jeff Ross is just so incredibly quick. And
my fifth is going to be Dave Attell.
Yeah, and Dave Attell.
He's just a different style.
Right, and of course, Chappelle.
I would put Geraldo in there. Up there too.
I know, it gets really hard. Well, the more you think about it, the harder it gets.
Yeah, no Norm McDonald's here.
Oh, my God,
damn you, Brandon, But I'm not right. Moving Burr, CK, Chappelle out of that
list. Budging on that.
Not Carlin, no. Those four are, that's my Mount Rushmore.
And Carlin, it's like you said, he's, you know, I mean, his material's still so central, but little by little, it'll fade. Oh, and that sucks ass.
Don't fade George Carlin. No, his stuff still stands up so well.
Every time I see a person named Chad, I think of
Tucker or Todd or Tyler.
Tucker, Tyler.
All right. Well,
I didn't hear
any Mitch Hedbergs. I didn't hear any Don Rickles.
Speaking of Rickles,
how about Ricky Gervais?
Yeah. Did you watch Kimmel? I sent you instructions.
I will watch it, Trudy. I absolutely will. In fact, if there's a couple minutes we can play of it, do you know where it would be? When I'm doing this, why don't you and Mark commence on that? Because I really wanted to see that. Anytime Letterman is on Kimmel, it's usually a special thing. Same with him on Howard Stern. Or Kimmel on Howard Stern, or Howard Stern on Kimmel. There's something in that trio that There's a huge mutual respect, and I think they all get each other very well.
Right.
But as we start to step into the fall, the team at Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram is kicking off their Jeep Celebration event. And as you can imagine, it's going to be off the hook. If you love performance and fully off-road capable vehicles, then Zach Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram has you covered, starting with the 2020 loaded Jeep Compass, as low as $155 a month, or the 2020 Jeep Cherokee Trailhawk four-wheel drive, as low as $249 a month. If you need a truck, go lease a new 2020 Ram Quad Cab Bighorn 4x4 as low as $188 a month. And then there's the 2020 Dodge Durango GT, which flies and is also like an SUV at $343 a month. And Wrangler, well, don't look far away from Zot for Wrangler because you may not have much success. If you want them, they got them. Plus, you got time to custom order a Wrangler from Zot to your perfect spec. So get details, surf their massive inventory at dealsinthed.com. And as for Dr. Yaldo, he's back. Yes, people are taking advantage of the reopening of doctor's offices to get the life-changing eye surgeries, the LASIK, which will have you seeing better than you ever could before. Also, the multifocal lens implants, which will have you seeing small print and everything else for as long as you live. You lose the glasses, you lose the contacts. Slowly, the price goes down, 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 plus $1,500 off if you mention the Drew and Mike show. And they've got the new office, the third location in Rochester, on Rochester Road, just north of M59. For those of you in that neighborhood, it's even easier. So call 1-800-398-EYES or go to Yaldo Eye Center and tell them you want the Drew and Mike discount. And finally, if you're a man facing divorce or custody issues, call Adam, because for nearly 30 years, Adam has been helping men just like you protect your rights and get the fair treatment in the court system you deserve. Don't take a chance with your future. Go with the best. Adam has knowledgeable, aggressive, experienced attorneys that you want. Adam is 248-356-2326. That's 248-356-ADAM. Did you,
Letterman?
You looking for Letterman?
Yeah, I'm not sure where the Regis part is. We could, I guess, just jump in on this.
It's like,
how far in do you think?
I don't know, maybe.
Just throw a wild guess.
3 minutes.
3 minutes? Okay, let's see what he's...
That's funny, you know, Letterman, I've picked up on this quite a few times. Letterman is so amused by Regis.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
He always was. And I thought Regis was really funny, too, in a real weird way.
Yes.
I really liked him. I just could not like him.
And watching this morning, it kind of made my day. And I'm like, I'm going to make Drew watch this.
I am going to watch it.
Because you love Letterman so much.
I do.
And to see him and Kimmel talking about Regis, it was just sort of like, you know, there was kind of a pang, actually. I never gave Regis enough respect. And the two of them are really... You know, like,
yeah,
extrapolating so much more of how Regis Philbin was just this every man could
I'm
do everything.
Sorry,
yes. He's a fascinating story because he had a national show briefly. It failed miserably, and then he was New York, New York, New York. He was a local New York guy for a long time. Mm-hmm. And Regis and Kathy Lee, you know, he was in his 50s, I think, when that struck, and all of a sudden, it's like, boom! This giant career just comes, you know, relatively late in life.
Yeah.
For a guy in that position, that's really rare.
And the thing, though, that they were so in love with was the idea that Regis was up for everything. Anything. Would do anything. That he will, like, be there. He's your guy. He's on this. He's just the most... Well, wasn't he the most prolific person on television?
I think he was on the most time on TV.
More hours on television than any other person ever. He was just one of those people who... He was good at it, too.
The highest compliment you could pay a performer is to compare...
About 7 minutes in,
Johnny Carson, and to say Regis is up there with Johnny Carson. And you did do that, and you also said that Regis was the best guest you ever had. Did
yes.
You?
Now tell me, you share my love for Regis,
yes,
I believe.
Very much so, yes. Yes, Regis...
And the many things to love about Regis, not the least of which was I kind of believe... He was the last connection to a show business that I grew up watching back in Indiana. And Don Rickles and Regis Philbin and a handful of other, Johnny Carson, of course, and others. And when Regis left us, to me, it seemed like, okay, that chapter is closed.
Yeah.
And that made me very sad. But I'm telling you, this guy... if somebody said let's pick somebody to drive across country with, if it couldn't be Regis, then I would hitchhike because he just He was always Regis. Isn't that what your experience was?
Always. He always referred to himself as Regis. I imagine that he woke up in the middle of the night saying, Regis needs to go to the bathroom. Regis was just exactly like he was on television at all times, which is really remarkable. It's very unusual.
It really is remarkable. And toward the end of his life, I know often he did need to go to the bathroom in the middle of the night.
But
that's a whole different show.
I wanted to ask you specifically about one thing, because Regis, did he ever say no to anything you asked of him?
No. No, okay. he never said no, and he often would do things that we didn't want him to do. He showed up once dressed as Shrek, and I don't know why. I'm not sure he knew why, but there he was in his Shrek outfit, but I was unimpressed. I mean, there are guys in show business who need the costume to stay in business. Regis was not one of them.
He wasn't at all. There were also some times it seemed that he would do things, you would ask him to do things that he did not necessarily want.
He would do anything. He would come and be on the show. And you could call him later and say, Regis, your makeup was lousy. Can you come back? We're going to do the whole show over. And he'd put on his suit and he'd come back. He was a tremendous individual. And I believe, I know for a fact, a great heart. And the night before his last show, he did the show with Kelly Lee. Kelly Ripa.
Yeah, right.
Who's now working with Ryan Seacrest? Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
How clueless he acts.
You watch that show? Do you?
I, from time to time, I do. Yes.
What are the circumstances?
I don't believe Jimmy either.
I know you're up late.
Breakfast.
Yeah. All right.
I'm not getting the calls. Okay. You are. Yeah.
So it's the night before Regis is going to retire. So he's leaving his show, and he has accumulated the record for several thousand hours of television, like 20,000, 30 hours of television. And the segment producer for the show, I think, was Brian Tatta, and he said, you know what we should do? This would be a joke about how old and feeble Regis is. Well, as you know, even today, dead all these months, he's not old or feeble.
No. Yeah.
They thought it would be funny to give him then a one of those rascal scooters, you know?
Yeah.
There it is.
There it is. Yeah.
Wait a minute.
That's a late model.
One of those. That's not a bad one. So I said, no, let's don't give Regis a rascal scooter. Let's give him like an actual scooter, like a Vespa. Everybody knows how to ride a motor scooter. So,
this is great.
That's what we decided to do. And Regis, we're so excited. We're sorry you're retiring, but to commemorate the evening and your last show tomorrow, we're giving you this beautiful, brand new Vespa scooter. Do you have the video?
I believe
Jimmy?
You have the clip. Yes, here's Regis on a scooter.
Yeah, are you ready, my friend?
I'm on it. I'm ready to go. First time ever.
For the love of God, be careful. Thank you. Godspeed. Regis Philbin, there he goes.
Oh, what did he make it, 4 feet?
Oh, look at his hair.
I did it. That thing took off like a bat out of hell.
Yeah, it did.
Yeah, he could have been killed.
God, it's great.
That thing just took off. What happened? It wasn't as bad as Rod Stewart's daughter.
Oh! Kimberly Stewart. Yeah.
That was
hers was, man, hilarious. I could watch that over and over again. Famous Vespa accidents would be a great show.
You could tell that it really, really bothered her, too.
You know,
it was very upsetting, which made it more fun.
He didn't put his feet up. Like, watching him, I just backed it up and watched him do it again. So his balance is all off.
Right. Yeah, he could clearly not do it, but he was willing to try.
That's funny. That's great. Oh, he hit the brakes too. He started too fast and hit the brakes too hard.
His face when it takes off is pretty funny. He's like, he really is surprised.
Really funny. I'm okay. I'm okay.
Anyway, you know.
Oh boy.
The two of them together, that was a good segment.
Here are the baddest, really bluest blooded beauties of them all. Paris Hilton and Kimberly Stewart. In this clip, the blonde bikers navigate the red carpet on a pair of stylish choppers. Wow, it's like Kim just needs her engine turned on
so
and
hard.
She should be ready to...
Whoa!
Beautiful. again. Oh my God,
Trudy, I didn't know. Did you watch the whole thing with Letterman?
They
did talk about his cell phone case.
They did.
Which
yeah.
is so weird.
Yeah,
it's so weird, and that's in the that's what I referenced with Binder.
Right. Yeah, and Jimmy's like, is that like carved out of a pool noodle?
Have you seen it, Drew?
I have not.
Oh, let me pull up a picture of it. They're talking about it because it's ridiculous. There it is.
What? 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 The hell is that?
It's like honestly 4 inches deep.
It looks like duct tape.
Yeah, it's duct taped on. And when he takes a picture with Kim Kardashian on the Netflix show,
yeah,
and the whole surrounding of it is like blurry because his camera is so old, and the lens is broken, and that's. Padding is all around it.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Look how hard really Jimmy's weird. Laughing though. He's just
so yeah. weird.
Oh, that was really funny.
Oh, your cell phone blows.
This something took me by surprise today. I didn't watch the trailer, but I was kind of buzzing through and I was spending a lot of time on Mike Binder Comedy Store. But there was a new trailer out for this David Bowie biopic/biopic.
Oh,
Brandon and I watched it.
Is it stupid?
It's fucking terrible.
Is it? I got to tell you,
bad.
I don't know how you do David Bowie. That is really, really tricky.
Yeah.
Well, this guy does not look anything like David Bowie.
Oh, there's a person.
That's a problem.
That's a big problem.
Well,
it's a very big problem.
What's the I guess it'd be the conflict in the story. It's just that nobody understood David Bowie, which.
I think people got Bowie. It took a little while, but, you know, I've listened to what he was doing when he wasn't doing that well. He has an album of covers, for example, and they're not very good.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I'm like, God, this is David Bowie. I don't even like these
David
covers.
Bowie.
Do you want to see the trailer?
Yeah, I do.
Because, yeah, you were going to say it's getting panned pretty hard, right?
It's called Stardust, so it's sort of like the birth of Ziggy Stardust, the character.
Mm. There you go. There's David walking.
Hello.
Name?
David Bowie.
Does that look like him?
David Bowie.
Not really?
Singles, everyone a total failure except Space Oddity. The record company finds the album too weird for the ex.
I need to be known. I need them to know me.
There's only one guy at Mercury who doesn't hate your new record with every bone in his body.
David Bowie, I presume. Ron Oberman, Mercury Records.
Played by Mark Maron.
We got a couple weeks coming up. Chicago, Philadelphia, New York, and then out to L.A.
I think we can make it work. All it takes is one believer to change the world. And we got two.
Two?
You believe in yourself, don't you?
Ooh. How cliche.
I think you're going to be the biggest star in America.
They've got Gaga in here to say it only takes one person.
She wasn't around at that point, but
tell me about the new album.
Well, what's it all about?
It's about the years I spent dressing in women's clothes and getting laid.
Oh, damn it, don't do
so. You wonder why it's not working? If anyone dares to ask you about your actual work, you just do the mystical mime act. There is no authentic me. It's just fear.
Well, then, be someone else.
Ziggy Stardust.
Ooh. I don't want to go mad. I want to take my fantasies on stage with me.
Act like a star and they'll think you're a star. Don't stop until you have them on the floor groveling.
You're not a space alien. You're from Bromley, man.
Oh yes, I am. Rock star or somebody impersonating a rock star? What's the difference?
Is this the movie or the trailer?
It's the trailer. It's 2:22.
He looks.
I would rather pack my rectum full of M80s and squat over a flaming hibachi than see this movie.
He looks distractingly not like David Bowie.
Yeah.
Yep. Now you've read a lot about David Bowie, right?
Oh yeah.
Is he one that was very lacking in self confidence, even in the early days?
No, he did his own thing. He did what he was going to do.
That's what made him him.
Absolutely. And yeah. I don't believe.
Who's this insecure David Bowie?
Yeah.
Yeah, that David Bowie was going, oh my God, I don't know what I am. I don't know who I am. And somebody said, be someone else. And then, oh, Ziggy Stardust, here we go. I don't think that's what happened. I think he chose that character. And as he chose the thin white Duke, yeah. later on. And yeah. I don't know. It seems really formulaic. But
so who did? Do we know who even did this movie?
I don't.
I'm going to look it up.
It's funny that was Mark Maron.
I know.
It's just trying to, you know, hinging off the success of Bohemian Rhapsody.
Of course.
It looks exactly like that movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but except not good, you mean?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it seems like it's going to follow that exact same formula of, hey, we're going to take, you know, this.
Yeah, we're going to simplify. We're going to distill it down and create a real simple version of something a lot of people like.
I bet you hear a lot of David Bowie songs in there.
Too. Yep, that helps.
They're not in the trailer, though. I wonder why.
Maybe they couldn't afford them. Maybe they
if you superglued my genitalia to a cannonball and fired it through the front door of this theater, you couldn't get me to see a second of that.
So the person playing Bowie is Johnny Flynn, some size of South African
okay.
actor. I don't know if
he's... okay.
I don't know anything okay. else he's ever been in.
Uh-huh.
Hmm. You... Stupid.
What? So, another interesting entertainment item about, first of all, the Garbage is finishing their album.
Sorry, one more thing. Bowie's estate did not approve the film and did not grant rights to use Bowie's music. Instead, Stardust has Bowie performing covers the real Bowie performed in this period, such as I Wish You Would by the Yardbirds and My Death.
Oh, how stupid.
Well, that's lame.
Pointless. That's point. You can't do a movie without his music. That's pointless.
No way.
Totally lame. That's why the Janis Joplin movie never made it to anything, right?
Yeah, that's...
They couldn't get rights for her music. Yeah.
That's dumb.
Well, you can buy rights. They just didn't...
Want to pay for it.
Yeah, they probably couldn't pay for it. Yeah. Well, anyway, Garbage just finished their album, and Butch Vig was talking about it because he drums... for Garbage, and he was saying there were some Roxy Music references and some Talking Heads references,
Garbage.
Which I thought was, wow, that's really interesting, because I love those two bands, and I like Garbage, but the main point of the story was that in this discussion about Garbage's new album, he was talking about Nirvana and Nevermind.
And she produced.
Yeah, and he said that he thought it would not have had the impact if it were put out today that it did in 1992, and I think what he was trying to explain was that you can't just explode out of nowhere now because social media, you grow this. I mean, this thing just grows and grows and grows. And, you know, people don't put out albums all at once necessarily either. It's just there's no mystique whatsoever. When you do come out with something, the whatever mystique there could have been is already gone because of social media.
Yeah, you probably know too much about the people already.
Yeah, and I think he's right. And also... I think there's a lot of artists that I'm not so sure the music is what they really like. I think they kind of like the person.
Yeah.
Or the social media person.
Well, plus when Nevermind came out, it was, you know, mainstream. It was so different from the rock that was out there.
Yeah, it was, you know, it was really part of a trend that was going on, but it hadn't been, I don't think it'd been on the radio yet, necessarily.
That's interesting.
So, yeah. He's always kind of a good interview.
Butch?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
I'll write that down.
Emily Ratajkowski is nude already.
Oh, okay, great.
Pregnant again. And nude. And she will not announce the child's gender until the child is an adult. So what's the child going to wear when they're 13 or 14?
Nothing.
I mean, won't there be some
kind of neutral colors?
Is she just going to dress like Pat its entire life?
Will they announce its biological sex?
No.
No.
That's
no.
Just different from gender. What?
Why do we need to know this? I mean, I find people, some people just seem to think they're so important that they make these pronouncements like, okay, everybody step aside.
Think about this. Why do we know?
I will not announce my child's sexuality until they're an adult.
In the bigger picture, who is Emily Ratajkowski? What is the point? She's just a hot chick that was in Alan Thicke's kids song. Right? She was in Robin Thicke's video.
Right. She's in a couple movies, and she's really hot, and she puts out hot pictures of herself every day. You can see her looking out from this angle, that angle, from above, below, with less clothes, less clothes, less clothes. I know. I'm really waiting for the day when people make fun of these Instagram people who are constantly putting out pictures of their face and their body every single day. I mean, isn't that embarrassing? No, I'm not. I'm just, wouldn't you think, I mean, if you were doing that, wouldn't you feel stupid?
Yes.
I would feel ridiculous. But the amazing thing is that people don't rag on it. I would think people would start making fun of that. And sometimes you see it on Facebook and other places where, you know, oh, what's so-and-so's Facebook? And you're thinking there'll be family pictures or whatever. And say, your face, light, your face in more light, your face with filters, your face from this angle, your face from that angle. And I don't know. It just
I like it when they use silly
to me.
Like if they have kids and they use kids as their prop.
Yes.
Me with my kid or my dog.
Quite a bit of that.
But maybe they don't realize that you don't have to post every picture, every situation, and every thought that you have.
Well, that's a scary thing. I don't think they do.
Kim Kardashian is proof of that because she actually rented an island for all of her friends and family, had them take a 14-day quarantine and COVID test, and then flew them there. And then they
did they really all quarantine for 14 days? Does anyone believe that?
I don't know. I have no idea. All I know is she put all kinds of pictures of herself at 40. So they all got to go there to, like, deify her, in essence. And,
good for her.
And then she puts she tweets something like, humble. And
yeah, that's right.
I wanted to give myself the best 40th birthday present ever.
People were ragging on her for going on this trip to this tropical island with all these people because of COVID.
Well, because also people are in terrible shape.
Yeah, people are stuck at home, and it's tough.
Some of them don't have jobs. Food.
Also, there was a...
speaking of selfies, you're going to see the most annoying selfies in the next week or so.
I know. The ballot selfies?
The ballot selfies.
Yeah. I'll get to that in a second. Oh,
okay. I voted. I voted.
I voted by mail.
The new Ocean Spray video is a guy riding a wave on a surfboard with a bottle of Ocean Spray.
Oh, really?
I got the impression it's a real video because it looked like it could have been made on a Hollywood soundstage.
I mean, that's cool, but are we done with that now?
I hope so.
It's been about a week.
I don't know. Do we need to see? Did we need this? I don't think so, but it's kind of cool. If it's real, it's kind of cool.
Yeah,
and Spotify announced that Joe Rogan is their number one podcast and that is outperforming expectations and also that... their podcasting is, which they've made a huge investment in, is making them a lot of money and bringing them a lot of bodies. Now, of course, Alex Jones got people all wigged out yesterday because he'd been banned from the platform, yet he turns up as Rogan's guest on Tuesday. So then there was even more excitement when the Alex Jones episode was missing for 5 hours.
What?
And
conspiracy.
Joe Rogan announced, this is already out today, because I guess he's recording a new show, that the episode was uploaded, and then there were problems with it, and so it was downloaded, and it was re-uploaded, and it's there now.
Inside job, yeah.
Yeah, sounds a little suspicious, but he said it was a tech issue, ironically.
Their stock price is down. You would think that announcement would shoot it up.
How much is it down?
3.3%, and the market had a great day today. Well, good time to buy it. Maybe that story came out too late.
Well, the whole story was interesting. It was not necessarily a positive story. It was just seemed like Spotify was trying to defend themselves because they were taking so much shit.
Well, don't
about Rogan having Alex Jones on, and somebody, I think it's BuzzFeed, uncovered some inner office memo about their guidelines, which appears aren't guidelines.
That's the one I was talking about yesterday, where their guidelines are probably the normal guidelines where you can't go on there and talk about promote pedophilia or something terribly outrageous.
Well, people, you know.
You know what I mean? Kind of like a morals clause.
When people had stupid guests saying stupid things, it used to be you just didn't listen because you go, oh, this is stupid. And so you turned away. Now, for some reason, people seem to feel it's funny that Joe Rogan is held to this incredible standard when he's generally, I think, a pretty responsible person. I mean, he's certainly gotten out there and talked about things that I'm sure surprised people. But isn't that part of what makes him interesting for people to like the show?
Yeah.
That he's not just the same as everyone else.
Of course.
Yet, if you look at the platforms like Facebook and Twitter, I mean, look at the shit that lands on there. There's no editorial control whatsoever unless it's Hunter Biden. I mean, honestly, they have murders on Facebook. They say they had a 50-person murder carried live on Facebook. They've had so much garbage, white supremacists. Then they had people's ads I mean, national advertisers running in front of white supremacist videos. They are so not in control of what they do. And I don't hear that much criticism other than what they do censor from the right. And Zuckerberg and what's his name? Jack Dorsey were in front of
Congress,
the other day. And I think Zuckerberg probably said it that he realizes that they are not understood at all by the right, or they have problems with the conservatives. And, all in all, I have no idea if anything will come of it. But within the Spotify story, it really became apparent that Spotify is not terribly concerned about Joe Rogan's content. However, they speculated, and this just made me laugh, that perhaps other high-profile hosts will leave the platform if they feel strongly enough about what Joe Rogan is putting out there.
Yeah, right. Like who?
Why
would you?
Someone leave the platform? Really?
He is so, kind of like Stern going to satellite. He's going to bring people to Spotify. And then while they're there, they might want to listen to other podcasts.
Yeah, Joe Rogan is going to only raise the profile of the place that you are on that platform.
Rising
and get
tide
more people
lifts all ships, Drew.
Yeah, to potentially download your show. But they really seem to think that people that do this type of show, well, they think just like we do, and so therefore they may just have to leave the platform.
I don't know. The great thing is there's a lot to listen to on there if you don't like one.
Yeah,
go listen to something else. I mean, if you don't like guns, you can still shop at Walmart. I don't know, does Walmart sell guns? I don't know. You know what I mean? There's a lot more in one place than just that.
If there are so many people at Spotify that are so unhappy about it, why don't they tell Spotify that, you know what, how about if we replace the difference in income with our pays, with our paychecks, just take something out of all of our paychecks to replace the income that Joe Rogan provides. Would they want to do it then?
Of course not.
I think not.
Of course not.
Or maybe they have a plan to replace Joe Rogan with something that brings in as many downloads and is economical. And I kind of doubt that, too. Just like to say they don't like it. So good luck with that. Trudy, you want to talk about Dr. Roche?
Uh-huh. Absolutely.
Oh, you do.
Yeah, there is no good time of year to decide when you want to look amazing, as it turns out, because if you cannot stand something when you look in the mirror, why put up with that? You don't really have to. It's a really good time to do a teleconsultation with Dr. Roche. Triple board certified, he has studied with Hollywood special effects crews who did body sculpting for the Avatar movies. Remember those?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and they had all those, like, exotic bodies. Well, he actually, took some of the cues and is applying it. You won't be blue, of course, when you leave there. But
can you?
It just so happens that body sculpting is one of the newest, coolest ways to flip the script on time and gravity. And a lot of it is non-invasive or minimally invasive. You know, the days of the old facelift, that's way over. And you can get 6 Titan Tone treatments of Evolve, 6 of Zerona for anti-cellulite work, and then Verju for toning and smoothing your skin. That's usually $5,800 now, $2,500. So it's a steal, and it's a really good time to do it. And more procedures for resurfacing skin and building collagen under saggy faces and necks. They are experts at deciding what the best procedure is for you and anybody else that you feel could go there. Men, women, it doesn't matter. Call them and see. They do lots of teleconsultations, and you can too. You can call them from your home, your office, on your lunch, whenever. And they'll figure it out for you, 248-338-1110. And oh, by the way, they also have CBD products, too, that are the highest quality. And I use them. I have this giant knot in my neck, and I roll on the stuff every single day just to,
Hey, whatever. If it works, it works, man.
Yeah. So give Dr. Roche a
beautiful neck.
Give Dr. Roche a call and find out if you're unhappy with something. Why should you put up with it?
We might have to call Hink Dog today. There's some exciting John Hinckley news.
What?
Yeah, there was a hearing he had yesterday, and a federal judge said that, hey, you know what, Hink Dog? We love your artwork and your music so much. You can now publicly display any of your artwork and your music. Because remember, he's a musician.
Really?
We speculate he was just jamming out in mom's garage all the time. But now he is allowed to go out and, I guess, perform as part of his therapy. The guy shoots a president and he's allowed to go out there and perform.
Oh my God, the things that you can do now.
I know. Not only did he shoot a president, he had quite a crazy stay in that mental hospital. Remember, yeah. He thought every chick was after him and loved him, and that he was so hot. And now you're going to give him a platform where he can be a rock star too.
Oh my! Well, you know, maybe that's what he needed.
So he
someplace
got,
to channel it.
There were a lot of restrictions. Let me find the story. A lot of restrictions that were lifted on Hink Dog.
Oh.
Let's see. Doctors have found that Hink. This is his lawyer saying that doctors have found that Hinckley has sufficiently recovered his sanity and will not, in the reasonable future, be a danger to himself or others. I find that very unlikely.
Yeah, me too.
But amazingly, he's still barred from owning a gun.
Oh well. That little.
I mean, why is that even up for question?
Ronald Reagan.
He's not allowed to contact. Anybody want to guess the three families he's not allowed to contact? This seems pretty obvious.
Are there any Reagans left?
Not allowed to contact any of the Reagans. Well, yeah. Is it Michael Reagan still around?
Yeah, yeah.
Not allowed to contact any of Jim Brady's family. He did murder him. I mean, it took took Brady a couple decades to die, but he died.
Little by little by little. Yeah.
And, of course, he cannot contact Jodie Foster.
Oh, yeah.
When he was trying to impress, right?
Boy, I wonder what she feels like. I wonder if she really has a panic room just because of him.
And that's what spawned that movie.
Yeah.
There still is the question of whether or not he can make money from his art. Because you know there's people out there that would buy John Hinckley Jr.'s artwork.
Yeah.
But I guess there was some civil settlement that kind of like Fred Goldman.
Right.
That the money that he would make, does that have to go to whoever he owes money to?
Oh, well, the Brady Foundation, isn't there, doesn't he have a...
I would assume that's who civilly sued him.
Yeah.
Hinckley told his doctors over the year that he regrets not being able to show or sell his paintings, most of which are landscapes.
Boring!
Need another landscape artist?
No.
around that time, then when he... And that was revealed, I guess, in an interview. It was when Gabby Giffords was shot back in 2011.
Oh, wow.
Hinckley told one of his doctors, "Wow, is that how people see me?" He then vented frustration about being unable to change public perception.
Ugh.
Maybe.
He's not.
You just don't shoot a president?
I don't feel like he's reformed in any way.
Maybe.
Listen to this quote. This is a John Hinckley Jr. "I don't have a microphone in my hand. I don't have the video camera. So no one can hear my music. No one can see my art. I have these other aspects of my life that no one knows about. I'm an artist. I'm a musician. Nobody knows that. They just see me as the guy who tried to kill Ronald Reagan."
And that's all we'll ever see you as, because you were really nothing.
Sure, while you're out of the room, you missed the exciting news that John Hinckley Jr. is allowed to show off his artwork, and he can go perform music live now. The judge allowed that.
Wow, I'd like to get him in town to do a gig.
Oh, he could be part of Drew Fest stock.
Drewpalooza? Can we call Hink Dog and find out if he's available?
Well, wait.
If we could book him?
Sure.
Well, now he's probably in the mood to talk because he needs to promote a show.
Absolutely.
Who else is at Drewpalooza, though?
Well, the list is a little scarce as of yet.
Vinny from Sponge.
Oh. Yeah, I also declared the...
Matt Farley?
The Von Bondies.
Oh, that's
because,
right.
But it's got to be outdoors. They don't like playing indoors. Yes.
If Matt Farley will travel.
Yeah. Well, maybe we could get Neil Young's brother, Bob, because he put out his first song.
Oh, my God. Can the Young family do any sort of music without some kind of a banjo and a harmonica in it? I want to know.
How was the song, Trudy?
It was...
terrible.
Is it because
Neil? She's playing it earlier. I'm like, what are you playing?
I don't know. I mean, it's like Neil before... Oh, by the way, he's reissuing After the Gold Rush, just in case.
Reissuing.
So Bob doesn't get a leg up on him. I think.
Is that with extra tracks?
An old butt buddy, are you here, Neil?
It may. Yeah, that's what it usually means.
Wow, that's that is a great, great album.
Yeah, it is.
This is Bob Young.
Oh boy,
you good, Adam.
Bob Young singing a song.
There it is.
Hey, America.
He
sounds a little like Neil.
Yeah.
He looks just like him.
Chance. Every generation has songs to sing. Let them sing, let them sing. All humanity has flags to fly.
Wait, is this an election song?
I don't think he's as good as Neil.
Brothers and sisters of light. shine it bright, shine it bright. Take up that torch, who would speak out? Have no doubt, have no doubt. Hey, America.
Are there any Hank Dog songs?
Hey, America, what? No, there isn't. You want to call him, though?
Yeah, let's call Hank Dog. Let's see what his availability is, what he's charging.
So the only thing you miss while you're out is they still don't know if he's allowed to profit from his artwork.
No, he should not be allowed to.
I guess he lost his civil suit.
I haven't seen his artwork. Should we bring him in for an art show, too? He can show off his arts, his art wares. Yeah, Hank Dog.
Hey, why
Hank
not?
Dog month.
Except for Joanne, she's the sweetest old lady.
He should shoot at a balloon full of paint, and that's how he paints. Since he's good at shooting.
That's... Oh. Yeah.
Shooting things. That's...
Joanne's the mom?
Yeah.
He's probably practicing, and it's probably so loud they don't hear the phone ringing.
Well, remember he's hustling chicks, too? He thinks he's hot?
Hello, we are not available now.
Oh, man.
Please leave your name and phone number after the beep. We will return your call.
Tell me you want to book him for.
Yeah, hi. I heard that John is available for bookings now to do music, and I just want to see if we could get John booked for a show. If you could call back the 248 number, we can make arrangements. Thank you so much, and good luck with the music and the artwork as well. See ya!
You're going to have an agent call. What if John has an agent already?
Oh, my gosh.
I wouldn't be surprised.
He's probably got 10. God, wouldn't you want that? A piece of him?
It seems like, I don't know, it seems like there'd be a tour.
He could go on tour with the dead presidents.
I mean, the world is just dumb enough. Jesus.
And who else?
Let's see. The dead Kennedys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's...
Who shot Ford or tried to shoot Ford? The Manson family?
Squeaky Fromm.
Maybe she could MC.
And Sarah Jane Moore also.
Oh, they could do it. Yeah, like a Lilith Fair presidential assassin thing.
Yeah, Squeakers out there.
Maybe a Matt Farley can tour them too.
He's always on the list. The 80s was a wonderful
American decade. You can perform this song. Well, it might trigger John. Ronald Reagan is the reason why it was so wonderful.
Ronald Reagan do so many wonderful stuff. Ronald Reagan make me proud of an American.
He just seems to get to the heart of things very quickly. Did you guys see that Chuck Todd was the top trending Twitter story today?
Oh, what now? What did Todd do?
Did you see this, Brandon?
I did not.
Is there a boner line?
No, because we went too early today and I didn't finish it because the other show went too late.
Oh. I thought it just had to be mixed down.
Yeah, I thought that's weird that fell apart.
All right.
And so you didn't obviously couldn't have seen Twitter if you were so busy. The top trending Twitter story?
No, I didn't see anything about Chuck Todd this morning.
Chuck Todd is getting hell for asking if Joe Biden is taking COVID-19 too seriously when it comes to campaigning. And I guess you cannot.
That's a fair question.
You cannot ask that. He got so blistered. I'll just read a few of the responses.
Do you want to hear responses. The audio? Oh, no, I guess that's pretty much what he said. So go ahead.
Raise your hand if you want Chuck Todd fired. Retweet if you want Chuck Todd fired. Of course, a bazillion retweets. I have COVID-19 right now. I'd like to tell Chuck Todd to go fuck himself.
I want a, a forensic accountant to make sure that person has.
Yeah, I know. I thought the same thing.
If you
thing.
Have COVID-19, well, get off Twitter.
Chuck Todd, wow. Rest. Oh, my fucking God. Wow. How does he still have a job? Chuck Todd doesn't believe in science. I had no idea. Chuck Todd must be captain of Trump's fluffer squad. What? Chuck Todd is such an embarrassment. Chuck Todd is done. Chuck Todd still has a job and obviously hasn't lost a family member due to COVID-19. Breaking news. Chuck Todd hasn't been fired.
Yeah, he's not. He's taken a lot of heat before
what
on Twitter.
What the fuck?
I don't know. You're not allowed to ask
Jesus
the
Christ. Also... AOC was trending because people were defending her vociferously. I guess somebody was ragging her because she did a Vanity Fair thing and she's wearing some fancy schmancy expensive dress and they gave her a $3,000 dress. So, you know, how can she accept?
You're not allowed
how
to
can
that.
She wear something expensive when she's a socialist?
What?
What brand of socialism allows you to get a $14,000 suit for Vogue photo shoots?
Yeah, but it's free. That's perfect well, she only, socialism.
That wasn't free. She got the $3,000 dress free. Yeah. Actually, it wasn't even quite $3,000. But the interview was more interesting than any of the baloney surrounding it because it sounds like she is not really a big fan of Nancy Pelosi.
Oh, not at all.
As speaker, and she says that party leadership gets nervous when she speaks, and she's not sure if she'll be alive to serve her next term because so many people want to kill her.
She'll be alive.
I have a feeling she will, too.
Somebody needs to tell her how death threats are just ordinary, normal, day-to-day.
Yeah, I would be much more concerned about regular people who are getting death threats from, you know, ex-husbands or ex-boyfriends, which seems to happen all the time and seems to be followed up on significantly more. But,
well, there was a new poll about the kidnapping, and I can't get to it because it's behind the Detroit news paywall.
Yeah,
about the attempted kidnapping, and the preview was basically saying how a lot of people do blame Trump's rhetoric for it, which I kind of was surprised by that.
I'm going to guess that 53% blame Trump and 42% do not blame Trump.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And by the way, if she's so worried about what Trump says, why does she keep clapping back at him? Because every time she claps back, he claps back at her and creates more, makes himself complicit in more threats.
Believe me, she would not be my first choice, that I can tell.
The other poll they had was whether or not you should be allowed to open carry in the Capitol.
There was a poll on that?
Yeah.
Oh, well, how'd that poll come out?
76% of Michigan voters said guns should be banned at the state capitol. Only 18% said they should be allowed. 70% of voters said they do own guns.
Oh, 70%?
Yeah, in Michigan.
Okay, that sounds about right.
Let's see. It's 53% of Republicans supported banning guns in the capitol, 72% of independents, and 95% of Democrats. There was one too about the
what about the polling places? Polls.
That's what I'm looking for in the story.
Yeah, okay. The Capitol thing. I just don't even get it.
The question posed was: should you be allowed to openly carry, quote, in plain sight to a polling place? 73% said open carry guns should be banned, and 22% said they should be allowed. So pretty much along the same lines as the Capitol building. Even among gun-owning voters, 67% said open carrying of guns should be banned at polling places.
Well, you know, I knew that as soon as that came out that it would be challenged. But generally speaking, I don't know. I guess I
but it
assumed...
Wasn't it wasn't a thing until she made that, until Benson made
true.
That law.
I
law, but rule.
I would have never dreamed you could open carry in the Capitol building. I just would have never, ever even dreamed that was true. And in 41 or 40 states, you cannot.
Why did you think that way? Because the first people politicians protect is themselves?
Yeah. Well,
from anything.
Among other reasons.
Criticism, yeah.
And then polling places.
A gun is not a weapon. It's a tool.
Polling places I would have never thought of. It just would never cross my mind to open carry at a polling place.
No one really
just seems
does.
Like a bad idea. And now that everybody's talking about it, people will probably do
will.
It.
Yeah.
So, other local news, charges were dismissed against the 7 students in the Warren De La Salle hazing case. Now, the coach and the school president were both fired, yeah. And they forfeited the entire 2019 season, only to say that, no, we're not going to charge anyone. Now, I saw Bill Dwyer said that students had been through an anti-bullying class, and they had apologized, and sort of they've been through enough is seemed to be the feeling I was gathering from that. The claim was that players held one person to the floor and assaulted him with a broom.
Yeah.
If they really assaulted him with a broom the way I sort of thought that story was going, then I would think there'd be charges if that was true.
Oh, like if it penetrated the
if it was
anus.
Yeah.
If it broke through the sphincter.
Yes, something along those lines.
Probably just poked the cheeks, maybe the crack.
Or it wasn't used in that way.
Maybe the brush end.
Oh. Oh, they were trying
which has no shot of going in.
No. So it's less for yourself. What?
And Taylor Man and a Bad Axe Man were arrested in raids on a violent white supremacist group that calls themselves the Base. Mm-hmm. 2019, in Dexter, a local family was terrorized after their address was shared with members of the Base. They were charged with gang membership, using a computer to commit crimes. By the way, you can charge people with gang membership? That's a charge?
Yeah.
Well, they know who these gang members are. Why don't they charge all the Crips and the Bloods and everybody else?
Yeah, good question.
I mean, isn't it weird how, you know, for example, I love watching mob documentaries. Mm-hmm. And they'll show you the hierarchy with every name there is. And I'm like, well, why don't you go arrest them? I mean, they generally know what they've done.
I know the answer to this because I watch The Sopranos. It's because they want to, you know, they have them all laid out in the office. Mm-hmm. And they target certain ones that are lower so that they rat on the ones like that are up higher. So they have to be able to catch them on something, bring them in, and force them to
stop. They sure do take their time.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it does happen, and eventually it seems like a lot of these big fish are caught, but boy, a lot of damage in the meantime.
How about the fact that the Base had the wrong house?
The Base. Yeah.
The Base? God. Oh, the house in Dexter?
Yeah, it was the wrong house. So the family was flipped out.
Well, you know, I don't think any house should be terrorized like that, whether it's the wrong house or the right house.
But it's even worse that it's the wrong house.
I guess it is.
People have no clue why they're being terrorized.
Yeah. Would the right house have
Slap
gone?
The base.
Well, yeah, this is about what we expect.
But it's an Antifa podcast host.
Slap at that bass, man. I slap at that piazza.
Bass.
Ridiculous. Boy. I don't, you know, this is all so messy. I mean, the United States of Assholes has never been more asshole-ish.
You should have trademarked that.
Yeah, somebody sent me the cover shot of the documentary on assholes.
Cool.
Wait, has anybody seen it? It was a documentary called Assholes, I believe.
Is it like a 400-part series?
No.
I wouldn't even cover it.
You know, it's I haven't seen the whole thing, but it sort of breaks down what an asshole is and different brands of assholes. And
oh, fascinating.
I just feel like, and you know, maybe it's just because we hear about them, it just seems like there's more assholes than ever. I mean, it just seems like assholes are multiplying. They're breeding faster.
I wonder, though, were they always assholes, or were they repressing being an asshole before, and now they've just let it out?
That's a great question,
because in reading about sociopaths, you find that there are many more sociopaths than you're aware of. Many, many more, because so many of them never cross certain lines where you find out that they are a sociopath. But the number of sociopaths they felt was way up. It used to be, I think it was 4 out of 1,000.
Really?
And now, or when this book came out about 5 years ago, it was 30 out of 1,000. But they did say that, you know, for the most part, you know, it could be that just 5 or 6 of those do something, whether it's rob a bank or sexually assault someone. But it was disconcerting that there were so many more sociopaths. And the explanations were very interesting. It had a lot to do with there's allegedly more sociopaths in the millennial Gen Z groups.
Really?
Oh, yeah, sure. No, of course.
And it has to do with growing up thinking that everything is about you all the time, and some people taking that to heart. And there was, it's interesting too, because I've heard this discussion in other places, the idea that the whole self-esteem movement went too far and told people they were too good.
Yes.
And they believed it. And so they, whenever they fail, they believe it's someone else's fault because I'm so great. I've been told all my life.
Good job.
Sounds like bad parenting.
Yeah, sure does.
Do you want to see the trailer for Assholes?
Sure.
It's getting really good reviews.
The boorish asshole, drunk asshole, the smug asshole, arrogant asshole, the self-aggrandizing asshole, the sexist asshole, the mumbling asshole, the reckless asshole, narcissistic asshole, guy driving a Porsche, swerving through three lanes of traffic asshole.
The guy in a documentary talking about assholes.
I honestly could not give you an answer on why you love assholes. It's just, they're appealing, I guess.
I remember the funniest people in school were the assholes.
Does anybody know who any of these people are that are talking, though?
Nope.
No, I don't think they're famous people.
That guy's the foreign accent asshole, though.
John Cleese.
As they hit play, there's John Cleese.
Look at me. Behaving a bit like an asshole can be funny. And we can laugh at that because it's not really serious.
How far will assholes
say, go? Nice girls don't say asshole. But guess what, Grandma? You didn't work for the RCMP. When you know that there's people in the organization that are willing to cross that line,
the Mounties
decided that to say something.
They're assholes in the Mounties.
The assholes are Mounties, or the Mounties are assholes.
Some,
really?
Sure.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I guess in a way, my mother was an asshole.
John Cleese.
When you elect an asshole to run your country, what you get is someone who frames everything around their own need. We have seen it spread into other countries.
Berlusconi.
His wealth, his girlfriends, his parties, it's proof of what you can achieve if only you let your selfishness fly free.
Why people haven't stopped him? What has happened to us? Witchcraft?
If you give a 24-year-old $100 million, that's just going to enable bad behavior.
It's clear now that we didn't do enough to prevent these tools from being used for harm.
He really means it. I mean, he knows how to apologize. That's not something assholes usually know how to do, right?
I think the great mistake is to listen to them when they start telling us how we should live.
And everybody else seeing what they're getting in life, I'm choosing to be an asshole.
Okay, ooh, great. That's a kid.
Yeah, he looked very credible.
Yeah.
He's definitely got the hair.
I will say.
Oh, God. Oh, boy. Wow, I got to watch that.
So on the local front, there's a story today about feds charging this University of Michigan former professor with transporting minors across state lines for sex. Is this the guy that was already in lots of trouble?
I think it's a different guy because this was... heterosexual.
How many creeps do you guys have at University
of
Michigan?
Tons. You see the fraternity that's in a legal fight now, too?
Yes. I'll get to that in a second. That's kind of an interesting story, I thought. Former University of Michigan professor has been charged 2 counts of transporting a minor girl across state lines to engage in sexual conduct.
Now, we have talked about this guy before, but this isn't the guy who drugged the man.
Oh, this okay. Yeah, because I was thinking that guy he was gay.
Yeah,
he liked dudes.
I think he was, wasn't he like...
He was having sex with Michigan students for the last 30 years or something.
I think he was a theater professor. This guy's a music professor.
Oh, okay.
Always the arts.
Steven Shipp, 67, of Ann Arbor. 60, so he would have been in his late 40s when he was taking this underage girl across state lines. Rest of Thursday morning, scheduled to be ran. So, God, he's been out there doing God knows what for the last 20 years. He's accused of transporting a girl younger than 18 across state lines to have sex with her in February, March, June, and July 2002. He was a violin professor at UM School of Music, Theater, and Dance from 89 till 2019. Also director of the Strings Preparatory Program, blah, 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 blah. Admission to UM, he's earned in faculty in Indiana, North Carolina School of the Arts, and blah, 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 blah. And investigation is ongoing. Anyone with information?
Blah, 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 blah.
But, boy.
Nice.
The fraternity of Michigan. A lot of Michigan in the news today.
They're just trying to do a nice thing.
And
fraternity.
The fraternity. This story is so weird. This guy's pledging a fraternity in 2016, and he suddenly decides that he identifies as a female. While he's pledging. Mm-hmm. Oh. So they, being open-minded, progressive, the fraternity says, well, you're welcome to be in our fraternity. And at the same time, did they not have a current member that was undergoing a sex change?
Really?
And also, they started admitting girls.
I think it was non-binary. So then the next
semester. Oh, that's right. He had no, did not consider himself to be of any sexual.
So then the next semester, like, hey, we'll take girls too. We'll take women.
Right. Except the fraternities are for men.
Yeah, they're
fraternity.
Yeah, that's kind of the definition of it. So the national organization was very mad about this.
Why would they allow women in a fraternity? Why wouldn't women join a sorority? What am I missing here?
Nothing.
I don't know.
You're not allowed to be a boy or a girl anymore. That's what you're missing.
Yeah, you can't have a club that's exclusive.
But there are sororities. There are fraternities. Sororities have all girls. Fraternities have all guys. There are co-ed organizations on campuses, too. So I don't know why. Is it just that you can't?
I think there's co-ed Greek life. I don't know about fraternities and sororities.
Yeah, they're not. Well, fraternity, I mean, isn't it fraternal?
By definition.
Yeah. So the national, I mean, this is so weird, too, that there's these people at the national office going, oh, this Sigma Phi. What's the name of it, Sigma Phi?
Yep, Sigma Phi.
These Sigma Phi people are letting women in, and that's destroying our trademark.
Get that snatch
out of here. We're suing them. So, they're suing them for trademark violation. They want them deleted from the charter. I don't know. It all seems so dumb to me. I just always thought fraternities were kind of dumb. I mean, I understand why people like them.
They're dumb.
But then when you see how many people die because they get bombed when they're being hazed or, I mean, it's just been, and also the sexual assault part, which was very, I just thought that was when I was in college. I just thought like people had grown up and they weren't doing that anymore. And I don't think that's the case. It's still a popular place.
Every single college movie since 1975.
Yeah, but I just thought maybe that sort of had gone by the wayside, but it just doesn't sound like it at all. It sounds like fraternities still try to get women all fucked up and take advantage of them.
Do sororities do that with dudes?
I don't know.
I try to like get an unsuspecting freshman in there and get them all fucked up so they can take advantage of him.
Yeah.
I suspect it's happened.
I don't know if that's advantaging.
I don't think it's as common.
That never works. God damn.
I think it's consensual when that happens.
I know.
So yeah, I really don't know. I mean, I always like to think, well, here's how I think this will come out. If it's a fraternity, then it's all guys, unless they decide that fraternities are unconstitutional. But haven't fraternities been going on and on and on and on and on? I mean, has anyone challenged?
So I looked it up, and yeah, a lot of universities have co-ed fraternities. A lot of them.
Why don't they become a co-ed fraternity?
Well, exactly. They're just not going to be part of that charter, that national charter.
Well, Sigma Phi. Can you imagine being a Sigma Phi member at another university and hearing about this kind of thing going on?
Well, not only that, but the woman, and the main part of the story, the woman, became president of the Michigan chapter for that fraternity. She's involved in the alumni board.
This is so far over the line.
How dare they?
Why would a woman want to be a president of a fraternity anyway?
Well, because she's already in it. She's a leader.
Why would she pledge a fraternity? I would think that you would think that it wouldn't work.
She wants to dominate dudes. Yeah. The ultimate dude domination.
She doesn't want to be in a sorority.
She's a leader.
Dominate chicks. I mean, honestly, I could care less. It doesn't matter to me. But
hey,
Hollywood
news. Did you happen to see that Scarlett Johansson and Colin Jost just got married?
God.
No, I didn't. I mean, I assumed that they would.
That's not going to last.
I don't know about that.
It's lasted since 2017.
Yeah, right.
Which one is going to get tired of it?
Well, ScarJo doesn't have the best track record, right?
She was married to Ryan Reynolds, wasn't she?
Yeah,
she did.
I mean, who could be? Ryan Reynolds seems like a great guy. Although I heard he was weeping when he voted the other day. Brandon sent that over, and I was really disturbed about it because Ryan Reynolds. I understand it's if you've just been gone through citizenship and it's your first time voting, that would be you make you feel good and all that. But weeping, was the word weeping, Brandon?
It was, yes, the actual quote was from his wife stating, he wept, and I pretended to weep for him.
Well, it's good that no one saw it, right? So she just narked it out.
Jeez. I just didn't picture him weeping.
That's maybe a bad word for it.
I mean,
how could he have said that in a more inspirational way?
Having a moment or he was
choked up.
Watery eyes or something, but weeping. I mean, that sounds like he was struggling to leave the balloting area.
Yeah. It sounds like he was inconsolable.
Yes. It sounds Jackson-like. I picture him being as upset as Jackson when Liz Taylor died. I would say it'd be in the same category if you're weeping.
But Ryan Reynolds wasn't ScarJo's only husband. She's had two other ones in the last 10 years. She was also married to Romain Durand.
Yeah, that guy's ugly. Name is.
Yeah. Really? Yeah.
Well, she had to marry an ugly journalist somewhere in there.
Brandon, we pull up who dated who, ScarJo? Because, I mean, not only the ones she married, but let's see.
How do you think Colin Jost is going to keep her happy?
His wit and his charm.
All right. So, she actually starts way back in 2001 with this guy named Jack Antonoff.
Fun fact, Jack Antonoff also was dating, what's her name? Girls? That we all love. What the hell's her name?
Lena Dunham.
Lena Dunham.
Oh, good God.
They were dating for a long, long time.
Oh, that's weird.
So then she jumped over to Jude Law.
Wow.
Oh, that's right.
Hey,
there you go.
Then over to James Holzier.
Huh? I don't know. Why?
Probably a rock star. I don't know who that is.
Oh, my God. Look at that.
Up next, Patrick Wilson. He's a stud. Over to Jared Leto.
Wait, is Patrick Wilson related to Owen Wilson?
No, I don't think.
Okay. Just asking.
Benicio del Toro.
Jared Leto was in there, right? Yeah. Benicio del Toro. Well, I bet he pounded that thing.
Oh, yeah. And then Josh Hartnett.
Sloppily, too.
Well,
hit it for a while. Justin Timberlake slammed it. Ryan Reynolds, of course, was married to her for 3 years.
Look at that picture. He looks like he just got done weeping.
She then left Ryan Reynolds for a very sexy Sean Penn.
Oh, my God.
Sean
hideous.
Penn? No kidding.
Why does he look 80 every...
No, he does look really ancient lately. I don't know what's going on. And she's
so great. Then she hooked up with a guy named Nate Naylor. And he nailed her.
She was slumming it.
And who's
then
that last
romaine lettuce stick? Guy?
Huh.
Yeah, it's romaine Dariak.
She married that guy.
Oh.
After she got a divorce from him, she hopped up on Joe Makota's wiener. And then over to Kevin Yorn, and then finally Colin Jost.
But who's Joe Makola and Kevin Yorn? She likes to slum it a lot?
Yeah, she does seem to like, you know, like Benicio del Toro. He's a great actor, but oh my God.
Well, these people seem like regular people, which, I mean, nothing wrong with that.
Right,
some people are
right.
saying there's not enough diversity in her.
It's not, a lot of diversity.
Look at, poor Colin Jost has to go on this website and see 15 dudes on her who's dated who, and then he clicks on himself and he's like, hey, how many chicks have I nailed? Two.
No way.
Rashida Jones. Wow.
She's hot.
Kevin Yorn, by the way, is an entertainment attorney.
Oh, you know what?
So he could have come in handy.
She was in trouble with a contract at some point.
Who was the other guy on there? Before that, Brandon
Machado,
the Roman dude,
somebody,
romaine lettuce guy,
Manny Machado,
not Manny Machado. Oh, Manny Machado, that's the guy who opted out and then played, isn't he? I was thinking it was Mookie Betts yesterday. I think it was Manny Machado.
I don't know.
I think I'm correct.
Okay, no, I believe you. Okay.
Oh, you want to do a deep dive on each of ScarJo's rejects?
I don't know. It's not working.
Well, Justin Turner is, of course, the subject of an MLB investigation today in the world of sports. And I had honestly forgotten the story completely, but of course, morning news just made it come. I mean, it was a huge story this morning. Like, Justin Turner, can you believe this guy? And I happened to turn on Stephen A. Smith just as Max Kellerman was going crazy.
Is he inconsolable?
He was, no, he's angry. A lot of people can't go to their graduations, funerals, weddings. Major suspension for Justin Turner. He could have killed someone.
But he didn't.
And Stephen A. Smith was far more on the other side of things. Does anyone like Max Kellerman? Is he popular in some way?
I think he's there just to be the opposite of Stephen A. Smith, to tell you the truth.
I am just dying to know.
I think he's trying to fill the Skip Bayless role.
Are there people just dying to hear what he'll say?
I don't think. Not that I know of. I mean, that show's all about Stephen A.
Yeah, be Stephen A.'s contrarian. That's all he has to do.
Well, but you have to say the dumbest shit.
Not always. I mean, Stephen A's not always on the ball.
But Max Kellerman is constantly saying ridiculous crap. Yeah. And I just find him so
I am not having a good day.
I mean, he seems like he's always very angry. Like Justin he is so pissed at him right now.
Oh man.
I mean, I think if he was in the same room, he would snub him.
But shouldn't Justin Turner
really do?
Justin Turner go, "Hey, once the final out hit is done. That's the end of the season.
Protocols
man.
Are over.
Yeah, I'm out of the bubble, man.
No, he intentionally, let's see, what was the word they used? I think I wrote it down. It was just, he
endangered Dave Roberts' life.
He refused to.
He also endangered it in the first inning, the second inning, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth inning before he got pulled.
He didn't know that, though. You know, honest to God, there were a couple places I've seen that were even saying things like, he actually kissed his wife!
Like
he would do that to his wife. I mean, I assume that he and his wife have been kissing all along, and therefore they know that whatever one has, the other has.
Maybe he didn't tell his wife that he had it.
I suspect she would know.
What?
Pulled from the game that something happened.
Maybe he just said he had an injury.
Anyway, the league is livid. He refused to abide by MLB security. Now, I don't know if he broke free of someone. Or he refused to comply, emphatically refused to comply. And then, kissing his wife, sitting next to a cancer survivor. Although I saw what's his manager's name? The cancer
Dave Roberts.
Dave Roberts, who was very nonplussed by the whole thing, mm-hmm. and said, hey, you know, we wanted to celebrate, and I'm sure he wanted to celebrate. And Dodgers just didn't seem angry at him. It's everyone else.
Mookie Betts had some pretty funny comments. Like, no, there's no problem with it. They didn't care. After all, they had already played a few innings with him, so.
Well, yeah, they've been around him all week, right?
Yeah.
As for, COVID-19, I heard about a super spreader event, a Long Island wedding, where I guess there were a lot of people there, and I don't think you're supposed to have a lot of people at a wedding, but there were 38 people positive, and there's hundreds in quarantine.
Jeez.
And Arkansas Attorney General has it, as do 14, I guess they're state senators or something.
Well, the New York Giants have an offensive lineman that has it, and because people around them have to be quarantined, they have four offensive linemen for Sunday's game.
Wow. Are they going to play?
Well, knowing them, they'll probably just keep testing these guys and get three negatives in a row, and they're allowed to play.
Florida LSU's canceled.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, that was canceled.
I think it was.
Wasn't that canceled a while ago?
Yeah. Oh, was it?
Okay. Yeah. I think it was 2 weeks ago or last week it was canceled.
They're talking about, it wasn't Fauci. It was one of those other guys saying that masks are just not enough right now, and they're calling for new state lockdowns.
Yeah. Well, there's new rules for restaurants and bars that were announced today, too.
In Michigan?
Yeah.
What are the new rules?
Find it.
Fewer people allowed in dining and
gatherings as a whole.
Establishments.
We've had zero cases, by the way, at Mesa.
Whoa. That's quite a...
I don't think that's that unusual for... I mean, I just know there's been a number of... been a lot of business done in Royal Oak, and there's a lot of restaurants there, and I can't think of... There's been maybe one that shut down for a couple days... because the test was negative. Somebody was around someone who got COVID in their off time.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a 2-day delay while they waited for their test. This is months ago. And then there was another restaurant that was closed for a week or so. And Fifth Avenue, so famously, as the governor was so angry at Fifth Avenue because they had 3 cases or 7 cases or 5. I don't think it was very many, but she actually specifically mentioned them.
Really?
Sounds like the big change is that any dine-in restaurants have to keep records of the names and phone numbers of customers who buy and eat food on the premises, including the date and time of entry, kind of like contact tracing.
Yeah, they, at the health
club. Sounds like Big Brother trying to find out what I had for supper.
At the health clubs, they make you check in and check out. So they know if you were in the building at the same time as someone with COVID, but there's so few people in the building.
He's in the building!
Not a terribly big concern. I don't think it is. And let's see. France and Germany are having lockdowns.
Yeah. Spain, too, I think.
Spain is?
I think Spain's locked down till spring of next year was the story.
Belgium, one town has 41% positive rate. Oof. One town. Jeez. And they said if Belgium doesn't do something very soon, 1 in 1,000 people in Belgium, 1 out of every 1,000 people, will be in the hospital.
Wow.
And they have undercover police going into businesses to bust people. Undercover police.
Wow.
That's pretty heavy. pretty heavy duty.
Well, there's also a new coronavirus, like it morphed already in Europe too, a variant. That's fun.
Okay.
Yeah.
What does that mean exactly?
A new round of different COVID.
It's going to keep changing.
New COVID.
Keep chasing it.
Is it more infectious or the same?
Let me find the story.
Did a penguin have sex with an aardvark this time, and now it's going to...
It's originated in Spain, spread across Europe, now accounts for most of the new cases reported in several countries in the region. According to this new study, it was published Thursday. It's not been peer-reviewed yet. Hmm. Do you really want to know more?
Not terribly.
Okay.
Tell me.
That's really it. Just that it's a new variant. No, that doesn't mean that if they get a vaccine that it won't work against that one.
Yeah, look how many morphs the flu has gone
every
through.
Every year, yeah.
This was kind of interesting news yesterday. Oprah Winfrey hosted Joe Biden on a Zoom show focusing on voters in battleground states. During the event, Biden spoke to Mildred Madison, a Michigan resident who drove 600 miles to cast her vote after her absentee ballot never arrived. Why'd you have to drive 600 miles? When would you ever have to drive 600 miles to get a ballot?
Maybe she lives out of state in the fall. I don't know.
I mean, 600 miles? She couldn't find a way to get this done anywhere. I think she must have gotten lost. She drove past the place 10 miles, drove 300 miles and 300 back.
Maybe she had a winter place in someplace 600 miles away, Chicago.
I don't know. Joe Biden told Oprah Winfrey that his son Hunter is the smartest guy I know during a Zoom event.
I don't know that many people then. Man, I think Obama would be a little mad about that statement.
The Democratic nominee made a surprise appearance Wednesday on a virtual Get Out the Vote event hosted by Oprah, focused on Pennsylvania, Michigan, Minnesota, and Ohio. During the event, Biden spoke to Mildred Madison, the Michigan... Yeah, we just...
He thinks Hunter's smarter than me.
Biden told Madison he spoke with late son Beau, as well as Hunter, wife Jill, and mom Catherine about becoming Barack Obama's running mate. Listing his family's qualities, the Democrat described Hunter as the smartest guy I know. Joe Biden's youngest son has spent months under intense scrutiny. Da, da, da. Tucker Carlson said Wednesday, a dossier of documents, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, the dossier that got lost in the mail? Did you see that story?
I saw that he claimed he opened something, or somebody opened something up, and there's nothing in it.
Did nobody make copies of it?
That's impossible.
They couldn't send it
surely
digitally?
They would make copies of it.
They couldn't use Dropbox?
I mean, that sounds, if that's the case, it sounds like their fuck up. Trying to say that the U.S. Post Office is
opening up mail? I just think he's saying that, hey, they disappear. I don't know what he was trying to blame it on.
Why are they talking about this? Anyway, audio is played of, that's on the Tucker Carlson show. The president did not elaborate on his point about Hunter before going on to say he decided to be Obama's running mate because my mom was not about to take no for an answer. Referencing his stump speech slogan "We're in a battle for the soul of America," Biden told Madison, "You are the soul of America." Winfrey was an early profile and high profile endorser of Barack Obama, and her support helped him win. And she supports Joe Biden. I guess there weren't any questions about Hunter Biden on this particular Zoom meeting. What a surprise that is. And there's another very strange story from yesterday about Kim Jong-un's pop star ex. Did you know Kim Jong-un was banging a South Korean pop star?
Really?
Or North Korean?
She probably didn't have a choice.
Yeah, right.
She's pretty cute.
Really?
Yeah. Hold on. Let me show you.
You're going to be killed just for saying that.
Check her out.
Talk about his... come on. That could be a car fox. What's her name? I went Google her.
Her name is Hyon, H-Y-O-N.
H-Y-O-N, yeah.
Song, S-O-N-G.
Dash Wall.
Dash Wall, W-O-L.
She's
pretty cute.
She's all yours.
She's got that big hat.
Holy Fook.
They're claiming that she has displaced Kim Jong-un's sister as the second in command.
Really?
Yeah, that's what they're saying.
She could be the queen of North America or North Korea.
Surprised Un hasn't sent her to Dr. Roche.
Because she's like, older than him?
Well, no. Look, she could use... I mean, she's a little flat.
Oh, yeah. Right there. She could use some Evolve. She's a junk in the trunk.
She's... oh, yeah, maybe she could... maybe a little action.
Yeah.
She's pretty, though. I mean, she's way too hot for him.
Oh, my. Well, yeah. Who isn't?
Well...
he's a slob. He's a fat fuck. And he's a murderer. Why... wait, she was his ex-girlfriend, meaning like from years ago? That's ridiculous.
Wait, was she executed?
Whoa, really?
This girl? No, I don't think so.
Was she eaten by dogs? Just kidding.
No, she's just they're suggesting that she's taken over for his sister, who has, for some reason, has lost her power. And it's kind of a suggestion that maybe this girl used her sexual wiles to get in this position.
What was that thing with her leg in the air? Was that how he fell in love?
What are you looking at?
Come on, young.
Well, see, now this story from 7 years ago said she was executed.
Well, she's very much alive.
Yeah.
I mean, she looks alive to me.
They said that clip you saw, Trudy, was the pornographic video that had her executed, according to China.
Oh.
Ah.
But it's not pornographic. She's just dancing with her legs.
Oh, spread. No!
There you go, Drew.
Yeah,
she's the leader of the Pyongyang Spice Girls.
No, there is such a thing.
Stupid name.
What about his, like, 80-girl band?
Do they even know what Spice
is? Oh, you mean his, that's not his band. You mean the ones that he bangs when he...
Well, no, he had a band that performed
some
songs when Dennis Rodman was there, and Dennis sent him some Pearl Jam songs.
Their job is to play music and have sex with him. It's a multifaceted gig.
Why, though, did there need to be 80?
Because, he likes to mix it up.
A little indulgent, Trudy.
And he likes strange, so that strange. You can keep it strange with 80. I mean, when you go through 80, it's always kind of strange, I guess. Is Jack Nicklaus taking shit for saying he voted for Trump? Why would Jack Nicklaus?
Oh, yeah.
Why is he doing that?
Wait, he got support from Jay Cutler, who retweeted it.
Oh, I didn't see that. I just read some of the comments. Wow.
Yeah, it's just really weird. It's like, does Jack Nicklaus not have any idea that this would happen? I mean, is he like, what's social media? I mean, I could see Jack Nicklaus is an old guy, right?
Jack Nicklaus. Yeah.
Nicholas's view, Trump has delivered on his promises and worked for the average person while being more diverse than any president I've seen, and he's tried to help people from all walks of life equally. Trump's policies will bring the American dream to many families across the nation. He's 80. Let's see. It just seems like he doesn't really know any stuff is going on where people don't like Trump. He just thinks it's like voting for Reagan.
Well, it started off, I saw a bunch of people saying, Arnold Palmer was better than you anyway. And then people would respond by that by showing pictures of Arnold Palmer and Donald Trump, who were very good close friends. So it was just a huge chaotic mess.
So mean. That's elder abuse.
Yeah. Arnold Palmer was trending on Twitter now. And now I know why. Because people were ragging on Jack Nicklaus by bringing up Arnold Palmer being better. Okay. I totally didn't understand why Arnold Palmer was trending. He does have a line in his endorsement letter. Let's see. You might not like the way our president tweets or says some things, and trust me, I have told him that. But I've learned to look past that and focus on what he's tried to accomplish. This is not a personality contest. It's about patriotism, policies, and the people they impact. His love for America and its citizens and putting his country first has come through loud and clear. How he has said it has not been important to me. What has been important to me are his actions. Now you have the opportunity to take action.
He just likes him because he golfs, right? He's a bro.
Yeah, maybe they golf together. I don't know. It's just, for some reason, I would never expect Jack Nicklaus to get mixed up in this thing. I mean, unless he was voting for Biden, I guess he could say it without getting too much shit.
So is Jay Cutler getting shit now for retweeting it?
Yeah, I would. Brandon?
I haven't seen anything on Jay Cutler at all. No.
I'm just going to, should I just Google Jay Cutler and nothing else?
If he retweeted it, no, I don't think there'd be a lot of, I mean, just a retweet. I don't know if he'd get a lot of shit for
it. Let's see. Chicago Sun-Times. Jay Cutler endorses Donald Trump election bid. Let's see what the Sun-Times says. Jay Cutler's the latest sports figure to endorse Donald Trump. Cutler offers support Instagram post Wednesday, and earlier I'm receiving problems from Jack Nicklaus and Patriot Co. Bill Belichick. Oh my God, cancel Belichick. Not bad for a president who likes to criticize pro athletes who delve into politics and social issues. Former Bears quarterback posted an image of Nicklaus' endorsement statement with the comments, "Never a doubt," and "Sign me up." After splitting with Chris Calabari, reportedly started dating conservative pundit Tommy Lauren.
Ooh, also supported, that's right. I forgot he was rumored to be nailing that.
He supported Trump in 2016, saying after the now president's surprise win over Hillary Clinton, "I've supported Trump for a while. I'm not going to dive into it. I know it's sensitive issues. I like where it's going." And then, let's see, Bears coach. Oh, I guess that's about it.
I saw Jeff Daniels jumped on the train following, what is that? What's the name of that mustache guy? Sam Elliott and Brad Pitt. And now Jeff Daniels voices the latest Joe Biden ad, which is running in Michigan because Jeff Daniels is from Michigan.
And Tim Allen has one on the other side, another fighting.
Does he really?
Yeah, yeah. There's an article about how
Tim Allen's voting for Trump. Did he say that?
Well, he's doing an ad for him.
Really? God, I'm surprised.
Let me find the story. Are you really that surprised?
Well, yeah, he's kind of been. I guess I do remember him complaining that his show wasn't renewed because he's a Republican or he's conservative.
Well, that was a while back.
Yeah, but I mean, that was the first time I had any indication. I just didn't think of him as being political, particularly.
Oh, he's technically doing an ad for John James.
Oh. Let's see. Jay Cutler fans were disappointed but not surprised after Jay Cutler endorsed Donald Trump. Let's see. What else did I say? I said, did fan reaction. I don't see any fan reaction.
Michigan.
Hate it when they lie.
That's John James. Defending our country, offering a healing hand, creating jobs that matter, doing the job that really matters. Grounded in real life, that's John James.
That's I'm not John Tim James. Allen, is
I
it?
I approve this ad.
Yeah.
It sounds like one of those Michigan that ads. Was,
yeah.
The, like, I, beautiful Michigan ad?
Well, according to the fake news free press.
It just didn't sound like him to me.
Really? Listen to the beginning.
Play it again.
Michigan, a place where people respect each other, love each other.
Yeah, I guess it's him. It's not. Michigan.
I mean, I hear him, but that could be a power of suggestion.
If I didn't know it was him, I'm not sure I would go, "Hey, that's Tim Allen."
Yeah.
Here's the like Jeff Daniels one that's very ominous.
People talk a lot about Midwestern values. Here in Michigan, we live those values. Things like decency, honesty, and respect.
Michigan!
Treating everyone the same. But we're hurting in Michigan right now. In our factories, on our farms.
What time is it?
Well, the minimum basically pay the check, paycheck, and then some months let the credit card bill go.
This one goes on for 2 minutes. So.
Oh.
Do you want
to? I was dreamweaving. Whose ad is it?
Jeff Daniels, the actor from Chelsea.
It's Joe Biden.
Yeah, play a little more of it.
Okay.
Michigan's the worst right now.
We believe when we look someone in the eye and tell them what we're going to do, we do it. We don't say one thing and do another.
We all.
Ooh, there's some ruined
porn. Here in Michigan, we believe in the golden
rule.
There's
the big house.
We believe in paying our fair share. In Michigan, we don't pound our chests and blow our own horns. We just get the job done. We suit up, show up, and get to work. We take responsibility. Here in Michigan, we don't believe in paying off porn stars to keep their mouths shut about who we really are.
Zing.
And we don't think much of a man who disrespects women.
Shana Whitmer.
In fact,
picture of her.
We don't think he's much of a man at all.
Ooh.
Michigan deserves a president who tells the truth.
Those are pretty wild pictures.
Michigan needs
dead bodies
change.
At Sinai Grace.
The music
Michigan
is scaring
deserves
me.
A president who cares about all of us.
We're gonna be okay.
Michigan deserves a president who believes in things like decency, honesty, and respect.
At your service.
I'm Jeff Daniels. I grew up in Michigan. Lived here most of my life.
Yes, Hunter!
Still do. I voted for Joe Biden.
Well,
Did you guys get scared by the music?
Yeah, the music is really deep and heavy.
Seriously,
right?
I was scared.
It's like, yeah. It's like horror movie music. Whoa.
Trump ran an ad on Stephen Colbert. Is that more scary music?
Yeah.
Are you scared? Ominous.
Why are you guys trying to scare me? Colbert had a Trump ad run on his show, which he was quite surprised by, and said that, does he watch the show?
Oh, well, nationally it ran?
Yeah.
Huh. Seems like an odd buy.
Yeah, I would say so too, because supposedly they're really not, they don't have a lot of money.
So that's just a weird buy anyway.
It seems like a poke.
Yeah, maybe. Anyway,
just...
Since every single monologue for the last year has been...
Yeah. You know, they had a story the other day about monologue jokes in the month of September. And 97% of the jokes, and this is for Colbert, Fallon, Kimmel. Is there another late night show I'm leaving out?
Corden. I mean, do they count him?
Yeah, I think they did count those two as well. 97% of the jokes were about Trump. And I don't think the other 2-3% were about Joe Biden. It was less than that, and there was not one Hunter Biden joke.
Kind of like all those jokes the Bachelors did just for that one guy. Dale.
Dale.
That was powerful. Did you see that? Did you see
the
roast?
I finally caught up, Drew. Yes, I caught up.
What did you think of the roast, Brandon?
The roast is pretty funny because it was all just shit on one guy.
I have to admit, I was laughing out loud at the roast, even though the jokes were really dumb. It was just piling into that guy, and the Bachelorette was very upset.
She didn't know what a roast was.
No, I don't think she did either.
Oh God, she's the worst.
But she gave her opinion on comedy that why the first roaster was so good because he made it fun.
That's what
makes comedy work. He made it fun or something dumb like that. And then it turned very far south for her because her man got shit on.
That's
why she was so pissed. And so every person on the group date after the roast, she asked them about Dale. So what is it? You don't like Dale? Your joke about Dale, what did that mean? I mean, she remembered every joke. And yeah, that's all they talked
humorless.
About. And a couple of them said... You know, I'm not here to talk about Dale. Enough about Dale.
I feel bad for Dale if he's going to marry this chick going down the line.
Oh, man.
Things always better
Dale's
be fun.
I got a feeling Dale's
out. A shithead, is that what you said?
Why would she be crying on next week's show if she's going to go happily ever after with Dale? Because she's bawling her eyes out. Like, I've been doing this my whole life.
Are you suggesting that Dale saw, what's the other girl's name?
Claire.
He saw Claire get out of the water. He's like, I think I'm going to stay for a
dude,
while.
Could be. I did see that when she got out of the water.
That's a nice shot.
Holy crap, am I glad they got rid of this old bag, Claire?
Yeah, that's what he's going
to
say.
She is really gross, and she could fall and break a hip. I mean, you never know what could happen to her. She's horrible. And she's... God,
great tubes, though.
She doesn't... No, she's actually very pretty, but I could not... God, if Dale has any idea what goes on the rest of the time when he's not with her, he would hate her, I would think.
Yeah, well...
I have a feeling he was just trying to win, and then when he realized that he was going to win her, then maybe he thought better of it, because she is so bummed to be off the show. So sad. You mentioned the bar selfies earlier. They had a story about it today, because in Illinois, ballot selfies. I'm sorry.
Oh, ballot.
Ballot
yeah,
selfies.
Yeah.
Illinois, it's punishable by 3 years in prison.
Do it.
Selfie.
Do it. I want them to do it. That'd be
great. Oh, if that's just if you take a picture in the booth?
In the booth.
Yes. 20 states have made it legal. Why? I mean, will we ever get...
Because honestly, why not? Why is it illegal to begin with?
I don't know. Will we ever get over ourselves, though?
No. Well, come on. If you can't do it in the booth, they'll do it just outside of it.
It just seems like there's just these endless strings of people doing everything from above, below, from the side, this angle, that angle, eating, sunning, getting up, on vacation, in a new outfit, and now voting!
Yep.
I mean, anything that can... keep us from having to look at one more picture of the same person doing something. But I don't know what harm it does. I don't know why Illinois banned it or what the reason is.
There's a new documentary started watching on Showtime. It's called American Selfie, One Nation Shoots Itself.
Uh-huh.
And so I just watched the opening scene. where the director is talking to all these people outside the Bean in Chicago, because that's all the people are doing are taking selfies. And it's, you know, why do you take so many selfies? And just the response from these, I guess, kids, these 20-year-olds, is just, I don't understand it. I don't understand why you need so many pictures of yourself.
I don't either. It's not just 20-year-olds either. I mean, there's a lot of other people who
take
them.
Yeah, but doesn't it seem to be way worse than that?
Yeah, it is.
Not worse, but more extreme.
It is pretty funny when you see like three people taking a selfie at some place that you've shown up, or it's like, oh my God.
I guess it does it not count unless you're in the picture?
Selfie!
I don't think it does. You want to get us out of here, Brandon? And
sure.
I will thank, I want to thank Mike Binder for giving us so much time today to talk about The Comedy Store, the great series that Showtime has in conjunction with Mike Binder, and it's on demand. I haven't really been watching it on Showtime, but it is on Showtime Sunday night. At what time?
I don't know, because I watch it on the app too that night.
But, yeah.
You know, 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, the usual. Sunday night.
I'll pull it off. Comedy Store.
Hot.
Showtime. Sunday.
I think it's 9 or 10.
Oh, it's at 10 o'clock.
Okay. 9
on Showtime. And this is the final one. But hey, go on demand and watch the first 4 and then watch the wrap up on Sunday night. It is just a phenomenal history of stand up comedy since it's really blown up in this country. And the Comedy Store is where it was all at. I'm surprised to hear that Mike so wanted to get right to the Comedy Store from Seaholm, because I wouldn't have thought that there'd be that much written about a comedy club outside, although maybe it was the mentions on Carson So-and-So's at the Comedy Store this weekend.
Probably.
Was Dad giving that book?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's...
Set him on the pass.
I mean, I just would love to know what Mike thought his percentage chances were of making it. He did make it. She's pretty amazing.
Yeah. Incredibly takes a lot successful. Of balls. I mean, did you notice all those people he said that he's friends with? It's just like, holy shit.
Yeah. All right, everybody, have a great weekend.
Go blue.
Oh, the blue and the green.
Happy birthday, Drew.
I feel a long Saturday coming.
Happy birthday.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. I feel a long Saturday coming up for M.L. Ulrich. Just want to say that.
I hope so.
All right, we'll see you Monday.
Happy birthday.
Halloween has arrived, and I want to make sure that we're all aware of certain guidelines when it comes to Halloween costumes at school. Now, I don't want to see any f***ing sombreros, all right? If I see any f***ing Mexican sombreros or anyone f***ing dressed like a f***ing Native American, I'm going to lose my f***ing shit. There will be no hobos or bums, anything depicting people from low-income households. And lastly, heed my f***ing words. If I see any of you girls dressed as f***ing Moana, I'm going to lose my f***ing mind.
Touch tone exorcism. The problem is you have to have a doctor's... You have to have something from a doctor to say that you need one.
Oh, what if for God's sake.
What if we just start going off? 666 Red Rum. She will die if you don't give me the exorcism now. Puke face. Puke face!
What do you say? What do you say?
Oh, man.
That's good. We're gonna sh**. What did you say? They're going to sh**.
Singing The Exorcist besides your mother.
Yeah, all right. Yeah, didn't she say there are legions of us?
You have reached 831. At the tone, please leave your name.
Oh, this guy couldn't
number,
scare a
your
demon.
Message. Your call will be returned.
You
Thank
know.
You.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but I think I need an exorcism. Me and my friend are here sacrificing a few animals and stuff and listening to AC/DC and Ozzy. So, what do you think, Puke Face? Will you give me an exorcism? I'm not going to some sad sack doctor to get permission. I want you to get on that phone and give me one now. Or I'll drive a stake into your buttocks! Pick up. Pick up, prick. Pick up. Pick up, pin dick. I don't think the devil runs around calling people pin dick. I could be wrong. But, seriously. No, seriously. We're sitting around sacrificing animals. And, I think we might need an exorcism. Okay? Pretty sure. So what do you say, Thimble dick? You've done enough exorcisms to know that Satan says stuff like that all the time. He's always making fun of people's unit cells. I think I need the exorcism. I don't know. Do you need it, Mike?
I need an exorcism. Lick my helmet, you piece of dung. Suck my s***.
Oh, come on now. Hey, that's over the line. You know, for somebody that needs an exorcism. Yeah, sorry about that. Sorry about that, Pendick.
Get a load of my pooper. Check out my pooper.
Red rum.
Red rum.
Pick up and
there are legions of us.
Mother, make it stop. Hey, pick up your mother's in hell. Come on, admit it.
It's true. Admit it. I'm pissing on the carpet.
Oh, I remember that. That scene was gross.
Yeah.
It was like, I would have gotten rid of the kid at that point. You're going into foster care. I don't care if you're possessed or what. You're 14. Get out of my house. That you're making a hell of a mess of your room. The electric bill is out of control.
Hey, pal. I'm gonna have a BM in your living room.
If you don't pick up. Alright, listen. We're gonna call you back. And if we don't get an exorcism ASAP... let's see. What will we do to him?
Oh, God. Where do we start?
Okay. We'll call back, Tim Dick. Be ready for it.
Yeah.
I gotta believe if they have any sense of humor, they will appreciate the message we left.
Well, that guy needs to put like a 10-second maximum on his voicemail. Now he's learned a lesson the hard way.
I don't think it ran out.
No, it didn't.
I don't.
You know what that is? That's that voice activated stuff or whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Aaron said for 4 minutes. The guy's going to be shivering. He's just going to freak when he hears that.
Yeah, he thought it was
going to freak.
He probably thought it was some cute little way to make $30 an hour, you know.
Yeah, right.
Deal with a bunch of kids. Tell them they're okay and send them on their
right.
way.
And suddenly it's like the real devil comes out of nowhere and blows him out of his boots.
Threatens to leave a BM on his carpet.
I like the concept that Satan is always throwing the thimble dick stuff around.
Hey, I wouldn't be surprised.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Bitch!